listens to on a Friday night. This is Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Night, Scoob! I smell something weird!
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Email the show, Ross, at nowthatsweird.co.uk. For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information. Behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents. Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show. Now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury radio hero.
The special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant.
In 1971, US President Nixon declared a war on cancer. 30 plus years later, it continues, taking the lives of loved ones and consuming billions in currency all over the world. Why is that, one must ask? A prudent question, as 15 plus cultures around the planet remain free of this and other diseases that are rife in the modern world. What are the factors in their lives that enable this to be? Well, actually, the answers have been known for a very, very long time. For further information, visit the Safe Living Health Network at safeliving.info, whose mission is researching, providing information, and supplying carefully selected products that potentially provide protection for people's health, along with reducing the risk of contracting lifestyle-related diseases. Why not check out apricotshop.co.uk as well? Put you and your family's well-being first. Prevention is undoubtedly the key to a vibrant existence.
Hi, this is your own pal, Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They make me feel f***ing normal.
dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space itself and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area that we call... Now that's weird.
Yes, good evening. Seems like a long time since we've spoken, doesn't it? 2 weeks off, first at the festival, and then, what was it, the week before? We were off for some other reason, I can't remember what it was. Oh no, that's right, 1 week was the festival and the other week was the outside broadcast in Glastonbury for the Charity Roadshow, that's it. But it seems like a long time, doesn't it? I haven't spoken to you all for, 2 weeks. Deary me, having withdrawal symptoms. Well, good evening and welcome to another Now That's Weird. I hope you're all well where you are. I hope you've all been enjoying the rather unusual weather of the last few days. Apparently there's been storms, there's been solar flares, there's been all sorts of stuff going on, and I'm sure our first guest will be able to tell us a little bit more about why all that's happening. But before we do, let me just give you a quick roundup of what's going on tonight's show. In hour three tonight, we're going to be talking to Drew Strom. Now, you may remember Drew came on a little while ago. He was talking to us about the Philadelphia experiment and brand new evidence to suggest that the USS Eldridge experiment was very real and that he knows a lot more than most of the people that have come forward to date with evidence. Well, he's coming back with part two of his story tonight in hour two. That's going to be intriguing, so make sure you stay tuned for that one. In hour three. In hour two tonight, we're going to be doing the horoscope. What's on the stars for you in July, and also asking you to email in with all your questions and anything at all you want to discuss in hour two. It's become a popular sort of part of the program now where you, the audience, decide what's going on in hour two. So I'll leave that very much to you. One of the things we will be talking about in hour two is the sudden interest in the Gary McKinnon campaign. You may recall we've been behind Gary McKinnon's campaign not to be extradited to the USA for some considerable period of time. All of a sudden now everybody's getting on the bandwagon. At long last, the Daily Mail are doing a big campaign to try and get people to back it throughout the UK. Senior ministers are now getting involved on all parties apart from Labour, apparently. And pop stars as well getting on board. So it does seem like that Gary's finally getting that support that he deserves, and not before time, I have to say. And quite a few things we're going to be talking about that particular case as well in hour two. But in hour one, it's no strangers to the programme. They were the very first guests I ever had on Now That's Weird when we started almost 4 years ago, and they've been on several times since. Professor Hertak and Professor JJ Hertak and Dr. Desiree Hertak. Sorry, I'm not with it this evening. You know, I've got 15 things all going on in my headphones at once here. I don't quite know why. Let me start again. The best-selling authors of the Book of Knowledge, The Keys of Enoch, translated into 12 languages. JJ is joined by his wife Desiree tonight as co-founders of the Academy for Future Science, an international organisation that works to bring cooperation between science and consciousness understanding. In addition, Dr. Hertak has released his latest book, End of Suffering, that he co-authored with his colleague and physicist Russell Targ, who you may remember we had on the show a while back. Dr. Hertak is the author of over 20 books. The Hertaks together have won 8 gold medal awards from international film festivals for their graphic films animation on consciousness exploration, entitled at Merkabah 1997, Initiation 2002, and The Light Body 2004. And they're on the phone from New York right now. Oh, JJ and Desiree, I'm having a problem getting my words to string together tonight. How are you guys? You well?
It's great to hear you across the ocean, and naturally we're very much committed to this program with all the planetary changes. The weather patterns are changing drastically. We just got back from Europe. We were exposed to a very cold first part of your summer, and New York is not much better.
Now, New York itself has a very similar weather pattern to the UK. Lots of rain, doesn't it?
Exactly.
We've had more than their fair share of that over the last couple of days, I can tell you, but there we go. It is a changing weather pattern, isn't it, at the moment, and it's all part of these planetary changes, which we're going to talk about over the course of the next hour. But let's start at the beginning, because people all around me at the moment are experiencing anger, stress, they're literally struggling from day to day. Now, is this all part of the economic factors of the recession, or is something else on this planet taking place?
Well, I was going to say, Ross, that your hecticness this morning is probably, or this evening for you guys, is part of that energy that's going on. I mean, there's so much happening on the planet in terms of energy fields, in terms of course, we just got out of this full moon that was a lunar eclipse out here on the 7th. And interesting enough, as a friend of mine pointed out, there's also going to be a solar eclipse on the 22nd, all in this 1 month. So there's a lot of energy taking place, and that's just part of it, of course. There's the economic stress that people are feeling, and the weather. I mean, if it's not bright and sunny, there's people have depressions. That's a kind of known scientific medical factor.
Mm. And it's not just the rain, is it? It's that dull sky look. When you get up in the morning, you see the grey skies, you think, oh God, it's going to be one of those days. And then you go to the fridge and the milk's off, and that just about puts the end to it.
I think we have to recoin a new proverb: look up in the sky. It's a bird, it's a plane, it's an opportunity. So we need to look positive through all of these unusual weather changes that are coming from all directions, with the economic instabilities and, of course, the environmental hazards. We look really at a full deck of uncertainty from one perspective, but from diverting the flow of negativity, as you know from all of your great contributors, there are positive signs of life elsewhere in the universe that I think can help us with this great change we're going through, this quantum change.
And you know, the magnetic fields actually are getting less and less dense, and we feel that a friend of ours, which is Dr. Trofimov in Russia, has actually done some research on changing magnetic fields around the body, and he's felt very strongly that it opens up the mind to the planetary environment, what we call the consciousness field. And if people are not prepared for that, it gets more and more hectic. So we do encourage, at times of change like you're experiencing now, to meditate, to calm yourself, to kind of release some of that negativity, pick up on positive thoughts, and therefore you're tuning into a higher frequency vibration that's really open to everybody right now when these magnetic fields are less dense.
Hmm. Well, we all have this problem that we blame the universe when things go wrong. We blame bad luck. We say, oh, it's all going wrong. This is happening, that's happening. I do it the same as everybody else. We go through these fits of depression where we honestly believe the whole world is against us. And yet we ourselves can change that, can't we?
Exactly. I think we're conditioned as modern humans to look provincially at the immediate environment that we live in, and we don't see the big picture. If we look at the planetary system as a whole that's gone through many changes for millions upon millions of years, we know that the human race has always survived its most stressful periods. We just have to shift our consciousness into a higher level of understanding and problem solving. And this is what Russ Targ and I stressed in our new book, The End of Suffering, that we must realize consciousness is not provincial, it's not local, we are multidimensional. And as we begin to open our mind to other opportunities and view the big picture, we realize that the planet as a whole is going through this very stressful stage right now, but we will go through it just as countless generations before.
Now, interestingly, this week, and this is something you may not know being over there in America, the whole of Britain has been grabbed by a week-long series special of a program called Torchwood. Now, Torchwood is... Just to put you in the picture so you know what we're talking about here, Torchwood are an organisation that works beyond the government, dealing with alien contact through dimensional gateways. So, again, there's been a lot of conspiracy theories with regards to this being government leakage of certain information. But this week, they've hit on a very, very strong story which has gripped the nation over here, of the abduction of children from the planet Earth by not a very nice alien species. Now, the whole thing obviously is science fiction, and we know it's science fiction, although people do get carried away. But it is strange that at the moment there's been numerous UFO sightings, probably more than ever before, around the UK and around the world. People are becoming more aware. People are accepting the fact that there is something up there going on. Now, you guys are leading scientists, and you've looked into this at some length. What can you tell us about this?
Well, I do know that this is not a new event. In fact, in September 1989 in the Ukraine, there was a series of events where children were kidnapped by rather grotesque alien beings. And I talked to Sergei Volontsev, who was head of the Soviet news agency at the time, and I asked him, is this really happening, or is this just a science fiction ploy that was being put into popular circulation? He said, no, truly the Russian military had investigated several instances where children playing in public schoolyards were abducted by these large elusive beings.
Right, these were really giant, almost robotic type beings that were walking around in the daytime and were very well documented, and children were disappearing at that point. there seems to be some attraction, although not every time a child encounters aliens is it a negative thing. There was a whole school of kids who saw these lights and aliens down in Zimbabwe, and there was no negative thing about that. But so, like you said, there's positive and negative intelligences. This is what people have to realize. And some are here to really help us, and then there's others who really want to experiment with us and maybe even take some of our genetic code or use us for certain types of hybrid experiments.
Now, do you believe, I mean, being scientists now looking at this, because up until a few years ago, it was just the ufologists that believed in UFOs and aliens, but there is now scientific evidence, isn't there, to suggest that, that stuff there.
Yeah, there was a group that was set up at Harvard by the late Dr. John Mack, a colleague of mine called PEER, P-E-E-R, which was really to look more definitively at these case studies, to do the field research, do the psychological analysis, and if there were artifacts, really to bring them into discussion. And clearly, things have shifted in the late 1990s on. We see more and more of a younger generation of very bright engineers, computer scientists, journalists who are looking really behind the scenes as to the credible aspect of what is happening as planetary system is going through these horrific changes.
And people can't deny this anymore, because it's not one little light in the sky somewhere, you know, dark that one person sees. It's now masses of people seeing multiple lights. And this has happened in Korea, this happens in Guadalajara, this has happened down in South Africa, and I know it's happened as well in many parts of the UK. So, you know, people in general are just looking up and starting to see these things.
Absolutely. And I think the more people that see them, the more that people are starting to say, well, this can't be so easily explained. So why is it the governments keep telling us that there has been no contact made, SETI has heard nothing, there are no such things as UFOs? Why are we still being told that, do you think?
Well, I don't know if we really are. If you look at Nick Pope and, of course, what's gone on with the British government, there's been quite a release, and there's so many documents there that are being released. Most people haven't had the time to go through them. But when you really take the time to go through them, I mean, these things are valid. You can't deny half of these things as being real valid extraterrestrial or UFO sightings.
It's also the responsibility of governments to guide the sociology and psychology of millions upon millions of people. And so when you have what could be normally interpreted as bizarre events or things that do not fit into the normal paradigm of consciousness, to be somewhat reluctant to simply open the public to this type of reality. So it's taken several generations of specialists behind the scenes to carefully sift through all of the information to decide if this was indeed intervention by uninvited visitors or friendly higher dimensional life forms or a combination of other life forms that are now looking seriously at the experiment of the human race and giving us clues as to our own ability to bootstrap and solve our problems, but also at the same time to develop a higher astronomy psychology to reach out and recognize we're not alone in the universe, and that's the positive side of all of this. We're going to, I believe, have a whole new rebirth of science and recognize that we're not alone and our friends are going to help co-engineer a new direction in the 21st century.
Yeah, just to make a few more statements about what's going on.
Can I just hold you there, Desiree? Sorry, because we need to go into an ad break. But hold that thought, and we'll come back on this in just a moment. If you want to visit the website, it's www.nowthatsweird.co.uk. You can get into the chat room. Just sign yourself in as a member. It's totally free. Penny will get you activated straight away and get into the chat room and have a chat with other listeners from all over the world talking in there right now. We'll be back talking to Professor JJ and Dr. Desiree Hertak right after this.
Email the show, Ross, at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Festival Times, the UK's number one free music paper. To find out where we're giving away our paper this summer, or keep up to date on band interviews and festival reviews, check out festivaltimes.co.uk for promotions and advertising, or to buy shares in the FT for only £1. Then call the team on 0203 2875 123. Festival Times, the new music paper for new music fans.
The Glastonbury Goddess Conference is celebrating its 14th year from the 29th of July to the 2nd of August, with fringe events from the 26th of July. This year we're celebrating the Sunfire Goddess at Lammas. wonderful women, men and children from all over the world come to participate to honour Granny, the Sunfire Goddess. Ritual dance, songs, workshops, pampering day spa, just to name a few events. Have you ever wanted to do a fire walk? Well, now's your chance. See Starhawk and meet Radiant Heart, Julie Felix, Caroline Hillier, Nigel Shaw, many more talented people to entertain you. For bookings and day tickets and information, contact www.goddessconference.com.
This month, Luxuriate Bath and Body will be celebrating their first birthday. Call into number 20 The Gauntlet Glastonbury to buy something to pamper yourself or a loved one. You even get 10% off if you mention Glastonbury Radio. If you can't visit, call us on 01458 833 016 or shop online at luxuriate.co.uk. Want to talk direct to potential customers? Then think digital, think video, think local, think In Your Face Media. In Your Face is a brand new media proposition targeted at affluent Bristol areas. We're currently installing digital wireless posters in wine bars, gyms and cafes, as well as doctors and dentist surgeries. And while they're waiting, they could be reading or watching your advertising messages. The technology is blindingly clever. The screens are operated wirelessly via the internet, so we can program the dynamic content that will appear on every individual screen. Slots start from as little as 2 pence. For more details, call us on 0117 942 0670 or visit our website at inyourfacemedia.co.uk. What are you doing on Saturday, 4th of July 2009, between 12 p.m. and 5 p.m? Why not come to the Gauntlet Day celebrations to commemorate the second birthday of the Gauntlet Shopping Thoroughfare? A double-winning spectacular, which recreated a secret medieval passageway leading to the heart of the town. The Gauntlet invites you to join in with our festivities and help support Glastonbury Radio's chosen charity, the Make-A-Wish Foundation. There'll be a radio roadshow, celebrity acts on stage, various events, including a quiz challenge featuring the 3Gs and the Moaning Old Gits. So whether you want live music from a star performer or would like to enter the stops, the choice is yours. Fun for the whole family, free of charge on Gauntlet Day. The Gauntlet Shopping Thoroughfare in the heart of Glastonbury. Visiting Glastonbury and looking for somewhere nice to stay close to the town centre? Then have a listen to what some of our previous guests have said about Barham's B&B. A hidden treasure, real luxury and excellent accommodation. Looked after so well in a really nice friendly atmosphere. Another 2 days at the best ever B&B. A friendly welcome, lovely rooms and a tasty breakfast awaits you at Barham's B&B. Check out our website at barhamsbnb.co.uk and for booking inquiries, simply email gene.h.barham@yahoo.co.uk or call us on 01458 837 875. Rates from just £35 a night. Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
Yes, don't forget, you can come to that website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, just register as a member, it's totally free, and you can join the chat room where Pam in Alaska is there, Mike P from Oxfordshire is there, Stardust 2's there, Conspiracy 2012's there, they're all chatting away in the chat room. Come and join them, come and say hello, just sign up for the website and get into the chat room, and it's as easy as that, really. Simple. As the old Meerkat advert says, simples. Right, you're listening to Now That's Weird, and record-breaking numbers already coming across tonight listening to the show, so thank you to all of the new listeners that are tuning in around the world right now. The listening numbers on the main streams are up well above normal, and that obviously means more on the FMs, AMs and other networks as well, so thank you to all of you. Such is the pull of Professor and Desiree, Professor JJ and Desiree Hurtak, should I say. Sorry, I'm not, it must be rustiness, you know, haven't had 2 weeks off, I can't seem to string a sentence together tonight, I don't know what's up with me. We get better as the night goes on, I tell you. Right, now, Desiree, we had to cut you off in your prime, so to speak, there, as we run into the ad break. Now, you were going to talk about a pilot episode in Lincoln.
Right, on May 25th of just this year, so to speak, 2009, at 4 p.m., there was a Globemaster transport aircraft, it's called a C-17, that was flying by Lincoln, just south of Lincoln, and they saw just above them, almost at the same altitude, this circular aircraft, UFO, and they were able to see it fairly clearly. So this is very interesting. That was one of the major sightings that was confirmed by, you know, not just a bunch of people on the ground seeing lights in the sky. This was an aircraft flying very close to this UFO that was flying in your area.
Mm. Well, of course, that was the area where the wind turbine was allegedly hit by a UFO as well, wasn't it, around Lincoln?
Right. So in the middle of the night, there was a sound that people woke up and didn't know what it was. And when they went outside, they saw that one of these wind turbines in the field was just totally knocked off. And the interesting thing is that it has these three arms to the wind turbine, and one of the arms was totally disappeared. It wasn't even on the ground. So, and it wasn't there on the pillar anymore as well. So it's very interesting what happened to that. And you can see it. It's on, I think, YouTube, that it's just dead in the water, so to speak.
Mm.
And, of course, the crop circles in England have shown in June the reality of massive corona ejections from our sun hitting our planet here in July. And so the Milk Hill geometry really is a clue to what I consider to be more weather changes through complex symbols that we will be working with from this point on.
Mm. Now, so that's an interesting point, actually, JJ, because a couple of weeks ago, when that crop circle came, or a week ago, it said that there was going to be major solar flare activity and sunspot activity on July the 7th. And, of course, that's exactly what happened. Now, a lot of people have said that all of these crop circles are all man-made. If that's the case, and they're all man-made, there's a few people on Earth who seem to have a little bit of insight there.
Yeah, this is very odd because initially the sun has been very, very calm, actually probably more calm than astronomers had expected, and they think that that's part of the reason why our weather has been so cool, so to speak, all over from the northern hemisphere across. I know we were just recently in Germany on June 21st, and you couldn't even sit outside, it was so cold, and that's very unusual for the longest day of the year.
Mm.
But so we attribute that as well to very few sunspots. But then all of a sudden, actually on July 5th, on the sun, they saw this what's called sunspot number 1024. And it was really one of the largest ones. In fact, it's classified as a B and C class flare. And it started hitting the planet exactly when that crop circle said it would, which was 7-7 onto 7-8. And I think it really affected it up until 7, even a few days ago. And now it's dying out. So exactly when that crop circle said it would be there, it was there.
So we're looking at the impact of large amounts of solar plasma penetrating or breaching our magnetosphere and really causing some rocky times, so to speak. And this is diverting the natural flow of events concerning Mother Earth and really makes us aware that this is one of the signs of other changes ahead. In 1973, in my book, The Book of Knowledge, Keys of Enoch, I stated that solar flare activity that would be seen as something that would be highly unusual would mark large-scale changes that would take place in the magnetic influences of Mother Earth. At the same time, I spelled out in one of my chapters what we call round numbers or crop circles would also be seen as complex geometries, both concentric as well as radial, speaking of changes in our understanding of life in the universe.
You know, we personally believe also that it's not just some solar flare that eventually hits the planet that might knock out some of our communication systems, that there's actually a stronger effect. We believe that some of these energies that when they do hit our magnetosphere, which they do from the solar blast, that they actually penetrate into the core of the Earth and heat up some of that. And now it's like a pressure cooker. You want to release that. Where does it get released? It gets released either in volcanoes and in some cases in earthquakes. And what do we just have in China?
Mm. Well, on top of that, I don't know if you saw the news report today that apparently scientists are saying there's been some very unusual tremors on the San Andreas Fault again in recent months.
Well, of course, we're somewhat based in California. I did see that. Fortunately, they're placing it down in Southern California instead of Northern California where we live.
Mm.
But, you know, there was a major earthquake. I don't know if you guys had picked up on that in China that had almost 400 dead. A lot of people had to leave their homes. So these things are happening all over. Yes, they're getting these tremors, really slight tremors that they're picking up with the top equipment that they're using in the Southern California area. But there has been major earthquake warnings all of June along the whole San Andreas Fault. So let's hope. What do we do about this? Do we worry? Do we fear? Do we, you know, head for the hills? I think we need to put some positive energy out to really send healing energy to the planet, and I think it can make a difference.
So the question is, are we being warned to the crop circles that the solar surf, if I may use that term is about to change, and perhaps our communications satellites will have to either ride out some very difficult times, or we could see a series of electronic failures on a massive worldwide scale, which would be disastrous by implication of information exchange.
Mm.
And all of these are clues to what we consider planetary change, that which doesn't announce itself as an apocalyptic event, but comes, shall we say, in very unique ways, affecting rainfall, temperatures, water availability, and even extreme food insecurity episodes as a result.
Mm. Now, I think it's interesting, actually, that the whole of this crop circle thing is coming together with the other research. As I've said on the program before, I actually feel all of this is interdimensional, and the whole paranormal, UFO and crop circle thing are all actually connected. And just before we go back to the Hertax, let me just tell you all, we're going to be providing all the equipment works, doing a live outside broadcast in a couple of weeks' time from the Silent Circle Cafe in the heart of Crop Circle Country. We're going to be live for 3 hours, coming directly from the car park of the Silent Circle Cafe, and we're going to have lots of guests there that are out there doing the circle research at the moment. So that's coming up the very last Friday of July, so stick that one in your book. And if you're going to be up there crop circling, then do pop down and see us. We'll be there Friday night through Saturday. Now, just moving on from the crop circle thing, if I may, JJ, I want to talk to you about when you were in Europe this summer. Now, I know you were around on the 21st, the solstice, and the weather was extremely cold in Central Europe. Now, was this just a fluke of nature, or are we expecting these changes to be a regular thing?
No, I think we're in for a series of changes, as indicated not only by the crop circle phenomena, but also by other levels of information from very respected scientific sources. As you know, Desiree and I were participants at the high-level summit at the United Nations in 2007 that looked seriously at what was taking place. And I have before me a document from the Minister for the Environment, Heritage and Local Government of Ireland, Mr. John Gormley, and if I may quote just one paragraph, he said, we have 10 years to stabilize our greenhouse gas emissions, 10 years to ensure that our planet remains habitable for human beings, 10 years to act decisively. Now, these are pretty strong words, and at that high-level summit, it was very clear to government leaders throughout the world that we were in for a series of climatic shocks. And we need to have a positive futurism on one hand, but we need to be able to walk on the waters of change, diverting the flow of negativity on the other. So here's where new science or future science comes into play, and this is why our organization is called the Academy for Future Science. We believe in the future, we believe that science will be there to help guide us, and we believe that there is a higher consciousness in all of this to discover who we really are in terms of sustainable peace and activity on Mother Earth.
Mm. Now, it's an interesting point, isn't it? Because this whole planetary change thing, so many people have been talking about this and not been taken seriously. And now science is saying it as well. Now, we had discussions on the program last year about global warming, and we had people coming on saying it's not global warming, it's global cooling. And, of course, now we've changed from global warming to climate change, which seems to be the in-two words of the moment. There's definitely something going on. Now, do you think these strange planetary changes have happened before in history? Is there any documentation to say that we're just going through something that's happened before, or is this something brand new?
So you can see in the archaeological areas of Peru, in the areas that were once connected with a network of canals that were suddenly abandoned, that sunspot activity did change very large agricultural areas and settlements that moved out of the area to the beaches. And other areas from archaeological investigations and ecological investigations have shown that this has happened all over the place.
And what's really unique is it's not just happening on planet Earth right now. If you look at Mars, some of the unique information coming out of Mars is that there's water actually dripping down the cliffs. So you're seeing pictures shot like a week ago and then shot now, and you can see this water flow. So Mars is also heating up. Other planets such as Saturn and Jupiter also are showing signs of different climate change. And I think climate change is the way to go with this in terms of dialogue, because it's extremes. You're getting climate extremes taking place. And we don't think it just has to do with planet Earth. Again, it does have to do with the sun. And it might even have to do with a astronomic alignment that is also happening to our planet that's affecting the sun.
Mm. Well, of course, the sun is heading towards what they call galactic centre, or the galactic equator, and that move is obviously going to change the magnetic fields here on Earth because of the nature of what's going on. But I just want to change just slightly to something else that I'd like to ask you about. In the news this week, we saw a report that appeared and then disappeared very quickly off the news pages here in the UK of something that appeared to be heading towards the sun, like some kind of meteor, but it was travelling much slower than a normal meteor. It seemed to be heading as if it was going to collide with the sun and then veered off, so almost as if it was a controlled object rather than just a meteorite. Did you see that story?
I didn't see the story, but I know that SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence group in California, has observed several anomalies. Some of them seem to be connected with events happening well within the range of our solar system. Again, I would be very, very cautious to speculate at this time, since we have so much good information regarding things that are happening on Mother Earth. The research that is going on high levels of the disclosure projects by keen people that we know throughout the world. Excuse me.
And so when we look at all these things coming together, you realize, like that interesting crop circle in Silbury Hill recently, it was almost identical to one of what they consider the Mayan symbol, and some people thought it represents 2012. And, of course, people ask us, what do we think about 2012? And we feel that it is a significant time, but it doesn't necessarily mean the end of the world. None of this really means the end of the world. It really means the time of peace and preparation to get ready for some changes that we need to go through on an individual level of personal transformation and collective transformation.
And the reason we say that so positively is many of these signs were forecast in our book, The Book of Knowledge, Keys of Enoch, published in 73, with the understanding that this is a general orientation for our understanding of how we will be able to reach out through higher states of consciousness to our cosmic brethren or cousins in the universe, who will share with us information, high-level scientific information, as well as consciousness, spiritual information, to help us on Mother Earth to go through these vast and awesome changes.
Mm. Now, the Book of Enoch, I've got a copy here which you kindly signed for me a few years ago when we met, and it never leaves my side. It's always close by somewhere, and it's an amazing book. I mean, it really is. And as you rightly say, it actually predicted a lot of these things happening back in 1973, didn't it?
Exactly, and what we're seeing now is more and more validations, including those artifacts that are even in oceanic areas. Recent confirmation from colleagues who were doing some work in the mid-Atlantic that there were structures that had been found on the floor of the Atlantic that confirm one of the longitudinal lines in the map of the world in the Keys of Enoch. So we have 12 different longitudinal lines. Of those 12, 7 have been validated, including one area a few years back in Indonesia on the island of Flores, where a small hobbit-like form of proto-humanity was discovered, if I can use that term, called Homo floresiensis. So this is a very obscure area, but when it's validated, it throws more and more credibility on the keys.
And what's interesting about this Homo floresiensis is it's a separate species. So you had the Neanderthals, and you had the Homo sapiens, and now you also have the Homo floresiensis. So there are three races of, you know, our type of people, humanoids, walking on the Earth. Why aren't there millions of races in outer space if there were already three here?
And, of course, this was connected with the change of oceanic activity in the Asian continent area, where the ocean was much lower at that particular time. Hence, we find under the ocean that has risen over 130 meters. These artifacts suggesting that there was once an oceanic society that was quite capable of island hopping across the Pacific. So all of these changes do have, shall we say, an opportunity to investigate the past, to look at the records in the ice cores of the Antarctic and the Arctic region to see what has happened over the last 650,000 years, and to shore up our information that societies have survived and pay attention to these vast changes. And those who do not acknowledge climate change, unfortunately, are those that dissipate.
Hmm. Got to stop you there just for a second, because we need to take another break. My guests are Professor JJ and Dr. Desiree Hertak. If you've got any questions for them, get them in now. ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. That's Ross, R-O-S-S, at nowthatsweird.co.uk. And we'll be back talking some more with them right after this.
Zoink school! Scoob! I smell something weird!
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Here's one for your diary. The Craft and Psychic Fair, 13th and 14th of June at the Georgian Pilgrim Hotel, upstairs via the spiral staircase. We'll have some great readers, aura readings, etc. and many stalls, including North American merchandise. A limited number of stalls are available. To inquire, just email ysharp9@aol.com or call into number 9 The Gauntlet in Glastonbury. Alternatively, you can call 01458 833377 or 0781-249-6558. Stalls are just £35 for a day or £60 for the whole weekend. Are you truly happy? Do you feel that there's more to life but don't know where to find it? More to Life magazine is the spiritual magazine to enlighten you with simple, easy-to-read articles on everything from angels, stress management and healing, through to Reiki, yoga and meditation. For just £13.50 for a year's subscription, we have the tools to help you discover what you really want from life. Visit moretolifemag.co.uk to find out more about us. Exploration is the path to a better life.
The Crystal Sound Bowl Experience. Relax in private surroundings close to Glastonbury Town Centre and benefit from the powerful energies created by Crystal Sound Bowls. Experience deep relaxation, boost the immune system and release tension at a very deep level. The soothing yet stimulating sounds resonate with the chakras, helping the body to be in its natural state, peaceful and at ease. For discussions, consultations and appointments, please telephone Steve Dash on 07768 252323 or email steve-at-hotmail.co.uk. The Crystal Sound Bowl Experience.
The Connections Magazine, the leading independent free guides to personal development, natural therapies and all things mystic. The three regional magazines cover the Southwest, London and Southeast and the Midlands, with articles and columns by Dr. Alan Sweeney, Barbara Brennan, Dr. Keith Hearn, Joseph Sarah, Karen Kay, Gail Force and many more. Why not advertise from only £230 a year? Your events, therapies, centres, courses and workshops, retreats, readings, products for sale, organic and vegetarian shops. With us to our thousands of like-minded readers. See theconnections.co.uk or phone 01747 823 424. Hurry, time is ticking. Whether it's for fitness, for fun, or for the family, Avalon Leisure Centres have something for everyone. Visit us now at Froome Leisure Centre, Wells Leisure Centre, and Strode Swimming Pool and Fitness Centre in Street. Visit our website for details at avalonleisure.co.uk or call now for great savings on our lifestyle membership scheme on 01458 444915. Quoting GlastonburyRadio.net. That's 01458 444915. In 1971, US President Nixon declared a war on cancer. 30 plus years later, it continues, taking the lives of loved ones and consuming billions in currency all over the world. Why is that, one must ask? A prudent question, as 15 plus cultures around the planet remain free of this and other diseases that are rife in the modern world. What are the factors in their lives that enable this to be? Well, actually, the answers have been known for a very, very long time. For further information, visit apricotshop.co.uk, whose mission is researching, providing information and supplying carefully selected products that potentially provide protection for people's health, along with reducing the risk of contracting lifestyle related diseases. Put you and your family's well-being first. Prevention is undoubtedly the key to a vibrant existence.
Hi, this is your own pal, Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They make me feel normal.
Yes, welcome to back to the show. Oh, what happened there? I'll tell you what, the old jaws are not working the way they should be tonight. That's what comes of 2 weeks off, you see. A 2 week break from the programme, you can't string a sentence together. Welcome back to Now That's Weird. Let's go through that again, shall we? My guests tonight, Professor JJ and Dr. Desiree Hurtak joining me. They're very dear and old friends of ours, and they've been on the show. In fact, they were the very first guests on the very first show we ever did. That's nearly 4 years ago now. And since then, obviously, a lot has happened. And we're talking at the moment about 2012. Now, guys, 2012, a real sort of time of change. We all know that. Although there's been a lot of debate about the kind of change. Now, a lot of people seem to be getting on board this at the moment. We know that the Hopi Indians, the Mayans, the Aztecs, other indigenous peoples from around the world have all predicted something for the solstice of winter solstice 2012. But now we see NASA are getting on board as well, predicting these huge solar storms for December 2012. Now, yes, it's a time of change, and yes, we know that there's going to be a change in consciousness, but is there actually a danger to humanity around all of these changes?
Well, I think we do have to be aware of some of these changes, because look at the there's a massive magnetic shift going on around the African continent, and I'm sure some of you had seen that the Russians actually ordered flight changes of their airlines to avoid some of those areas with these geomagnetic storms that perhaps, and just perhaps, took down some of the airplanes that we, you know, in the last month. So we do believe that there's a lot going on that's affecting the atmosphere, that's affecting the planet, that's affecting the people, because if there is these geomagnetic storms, we're part of that, too. We're starting to feel, we pick up on the extra, maybe electricity, weakened magnetic fields. All these things are affecting our consciousness, but also affecting our technology.
Now, the thing is, things that affect the technology, things, for instance, like solar flares that could take satellites out and whatever. I saw a film a little while back, and I can't remember what it was called, but it was something to do with solar flares that took out satellites. And, of course, it caused knock-on problems because of the lack of communications. We had a Russian submarine and an American submarine confronting themselves, both armed with nuclear missiles, who couldn't get the directions they wanted from their governments. And the captains of the two submarines had to take an on-board decision of whether to fire on each other. Now, things like this, okay, again, it's sci-fi, but it gives us an idea of the sort of things that could happen when you lose that kind of communication.
Yeah, it's worse than that. It actually could take out our entire electric grid system. Some of this took place, we believe, in the Northeast some years back, where you literally the whole transformers blow out. In fact, there is a movie that where the people are kind of arguing that there's going to be the solar flare turn off the power system for, like, the whole Northeast so that it's preserved. Like, you should unplug your computer during major storms. Otherwise, you know, once it blows, it blows. And they won't be able to replace these transformers for a long time, especially if many of them blow out. So we really could have some major situations. But I just want to emphasize this whole situation with the magnetic shifting. Down by the African continent on both sides, instead of having a southern field and a northern field like we're used to, what's happening now in these magnetic shifts is that you're starting to get northern polar fields in the south, and especially around the African continent is where this has cropped up, mostly on the side over by Durban, South Africa, as well as in the Atlantic Ocean, Southern Atlantic. So we believe that some of these shifting fields is causing some of these major changes as well.
In fact, the numbers on the aircraft runways have had to be changed because the orientation has already occurred in the southern part of South Africa. So we have some situations here that are rather unpleasant, and at the same time, we know along with this there is an increase in sightings of unusual technologies around Mother Earth, suggesting that this may have happened in other planetary systems and that we are going through this horrific quagmire where we will have to deal not only with the weather disruptions, but, climate change of 2 to 3 degrees centigrade would bring an enormous damage and ecological and economic impact upon massive numbers of humanity, possibly resulting in the death of 1/3 of humanity, according to my late colleague at the United Nations, Rashmi Meyer. So, you know, we're dealing with situations that are rather unpleasant on one hand, and this is what the paradigm change is all about, and why my dear friend Colin Andrews from UK wrote this interesting book called 2012, which is now available through the Idiot's Guide to 2012. And I would encourage our listeners throughout the world to look at this because Cullen, besides being an expert in so many other areas, took on the paradigms of Nick Pope and disclosure by stating that there is a strong connection between the crop circles and weather anomalies and the sudden appearance of these, shall we say, advanced technologies of higher intelligence, or what the Keys of Enoch call higher evolutionary intelligence at our doorstep. And I think we are being made aware in many unique ways that this is a test that we as a planetary humanity must go through as we begin to graduate into space, so we learn to use our consciousness and our science appropriately.
Yeah, we feel they know more about what we're going through than we know ourselves. And so, you know, we're not alone in all of this. It's not happenstance. They're watching the planet. They know what's taking place. And they'll be here in some cases to protect us and in some cases to prepare us.
Mm. Now, one of my listeners in the chat room, Matthew, has actually just made the point that the actual solstice in 2012 happens at 11 minutes past 11 on December 21st. Now, I had a guest on the show a couple of weeks ago before we took the break talking about the 11:11 codes and how people all over the world are waking up at 11 minutes past 1 and 22 minutes past 2. Now, something very strange happened to me directly after that show. I was programming the radio station up on the upstairs computer here where I live for the stream for that week. End, and I'd taken a break from doing the end of the show. I was watching a bit of TV, you know, having a bite to eat, and then I went upstairs. So it wasn't like I'd planned it at any particular time to do this, but when I switched Stan Broadcaster on, which is the playout software, it came up at 11 minutes past 1 and 11 seconds, so it was 1-1-1-1. Now, was that coincidence, or is there a significance in that?
Well, we do feel there is a type of matrix that we're living in. We don't realize that because we're kind of part of that matrix, but once we start looking outside of ourselves, we realize that the mathematics, many people live in houses, even if they move three or four times, the same numbers, the same mathematics follows them around. So how does this happen? The idea of 111, of course, is almost like a binary bit of information, of computer coding coming into the planet. And, you know, we could be shifting even from the 111 eventually to the from the 11th hour to the 12th hour. There's different ways of perceiving what those codes really are. But ultimately, we are part of a matrix of intelligence, and our manifestation in the physical form is really just a vibratory concretization of an energy field that exists around the planet.
And our academy has worked with leading mathematicians in Germany and Russia on a whole new process of looking at a spectrum change of all known factors of the environment, climate, and of the atmosphere. And for those who'd be interested, this month on the 18th and 19th, of July 2009 at the Friends Meeting House near Euston Station in London, the Academy is offering a seminar dealing with the teachings of the soul and higher knowledge, which includes understanding the higher mathematics of what is going on with these changes.
Hmm. Now, I've got some contact details. I've got some contact details here.
Might be interested.
Yeah. It's Victoria Dixon people need to contact. The number is 01926-885131. That's Victoria Dixon, 01926-885131. And I will put that number up in the chat room shortly as well. It's an interesting event. It's Saturday and Sunday, the 18th and 19th of July. It's the Friends Meeting House near Euston Station. The seminar on teachings of the soul and gnosis. Interesting stuff. And I think that's going to sell out quite quickly, I would think.
Yes, well, we've been working with these mathematical patterns for some time, and we've seen, as you know, and Colin Andrews did admit that in the Keys of Enoch, already 1973, we had acknowledged that Stonehenge in this area of Wilshire would be one of the major areas where these round numbers, as they were called before they were called crop circles, would appear in very complex forms, signifying as it were a clockwork. Mm. A change that would take place where you would have precise mathematical patterns of concentric and radial geometry of how we are but one of many life systems going through a whole unique paradigm change.
And also in the Keys of Enoch, you talked about the Sphinx being the solar travel vehicle. Now, what did you mean by that?
I meant that if you look at the symbolism of the Sphinx in world cultures, you will see that it generally is a symbol of initiation of the human and the non-human, usually the lion form, which symbolizes for most cultures the symbol of the sun or the solar logos, and the ability to balance the face of man within the body of the lion means the ability to harness solar energy to work with intelligence beyond the solar spectrum or hyperdimensional physics as well as to understand how the various cultures of the world are part of a geomagnetic grid orientated with specific features in space, generally emphasizing the Sphinx and a pyramidal temple or some sort of megalithic area of contact.
Yes, actually, so the Sphinx itself, even though it points in a unique direction to the east in alignment with certain star factors like a Leo, we also believe is a symbolic structure for showing how we can come off this planet, and that the pyramid itself was coded here from intelligences outside of the planet connected with Orion. And although this was made popular by such people as
Robert Bevel and others, it was in the Keys 20 years before his book came out on Orion or the mystery of Orion. In essence, what Desiree is saying is that these are more than just cultural curiosities. These are time capsules left behind, and even our Bible, if you look at the book of Genesis in chapter 49, is a reference to the lion with the outstretched arms in reference to what the ancients believed to be the coming of the higher age of the divine appearance, or the myth of the eternal return, as anthropologists refer to it, the coming of the creators back to the scene of the experiment.
Now, a lot of Christians actually believe that this is the time of what they call the rapture. Now, you mentioned earlier, Desiree, about perhaps as much as a third of the planet, I think, that could be affected by this in civilization terms. Now, do you think this is some kind of rapture period where the Earth is being sorted out, the good from the bad?
Well, the word rapture conjures up many scenarios. A new movie out called Knowing in the United States, quite popular movie where we see these tremendous weather changes and storms, and all of a sudden young people are picked up and taken to another realm of creation. That would be one type of what I would call modern rapture, astrophysical rapture. The Christians speak of rapture in more of a mystical term of being seized by the Spirit of God to see the eternal Christ or the blessedness of the divine. Other cultures have their own take on a higher consciousness experience that would be an energy rush through the body, very much like a epiphany where the person could be literally taken to another realm. You know, all of these are valid for those particular cultures, but we're speaking in the Keys of Enoch as a major change whereby we would be energized as a planetary humanity to see visually in this dimensional body that there is a higher level of creation on that other level of our spectrum that we normally do not work with or see because of the frequency differences.
Right. We think even right now many people are going through this upward spiral where they're starting to understand, where they're starting to see, they're starting to notice that there is a mathematical alignment that they're part of, that there is a spiritual alignment that they're part of, and so they're starting to awaken to who they are. So in a sense, if the rapture is going on now, it's not the being lifted off the planet and never coming back. It's the transformation of really who we are on this planet right now, and new information is coming forth. Let me give you one example. Do we have the time? Or
well, I was just going to say, let's stop you there, and if you're okay for a little while longer, we'd like to take you into hour two. So if I can just hold you on that point, and we'll come back to this right after the break, if that's okay.
That's great.
Fantastic. Now, they are going to stay with us, which is great news. We've got a slightly longer break now because we're on the hour, but we will be talking some more with JJ and Desiree Hertak on this subject and a few others. But keep those emails coming in. We will get to them. ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. Now, coming up in this break, a very special treat for you. While I was at Glastonbury Festival, Sharon Corr from The Corrs recorded a backstage acoustic set especially for us. Nobody else has got this. And she wrote she wrote many of the songs for The Corrs, as you probably know, but she wrote one in particular called Radio, and during this break you're going to hear her acoustic version with her band backstage on the acoustic stage, especially recorded for Glastonbury Radio, and it's coming up in this break.
listens to on a Friday night.
This is Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth. Email the show, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk.
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents. Now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury radio hero.
The special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant.
In 1971, US President Nixon declared a war on cancer. 30 plus years later, it continues, taking the lives of loved ones and consuming billions in currency all over the world. Why is that, one must ask? A prudent question, as 15 plus cultures around the planet remain free of this and other diseases that are rife in the modern world. What are the factors in their lives that enable this to be? Well, actually, the answers have been known for a very, very long time. For further information, visit the Safe Living Health Network at safeliving.info, whose mission is researching, providing information, and supplying carefully selected products that potentially provide protection for people's health, along with reducing the risk of contracting lifestyle-related diseases. Why not check out apricotshop.co.uk as well? Put you and your family's well-being first. Prevention is undoubtedly the key to a vibrant existence. Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
You're still in my head.
fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space itself and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area that we call... Now that's weird.
Yes, welcome back to hour two of the show. The Heart Attack's still with us, and I get asked a lot of times when I'm out at conferences doing talks and whatever, why do you take such a long break at the beginning of each hour? Is it so you can go for a beer? I wish. No, what it is, a lot of our syndicate stations in America are FM and AM stations who have to carry their news breaks, then they have music back in, plus they have sponsor buffers and this sort of thing, so we have to allow for that. So we have a set period of time that we have to kill our end. So you listening to the Glastonbury radio feed will get music like you just did from Sharon Corr. Other people in other places around the world will be hearing the news and sponsors and advertising messages. So there you go. That explains why we do that. Now, I'd like to say a big thank you to the Hertaks who've agreed to stay on for an extra half an hour. So we've got them until 10:30. And I've managed to get the syndicates to agree to a late ad break so we can go straight through now till 10:30 without any disturbances. So JJ, Desiree, thanks for doing that. Now, we were talking before the break about the rapture and about some sort of possible divine intervention forming part of 2012. Now, if we could pick up from where we left off, guys.
Right. Well, we feel the Keys of Enoch specifically talk about the fact that extraterrestrials are here to help humanity. Some are not. You mentioned about the child kidnapping, so to speak, or abductions. I mean, those are obviously the renegade intelligences that are out there. But for the most part, they are here to help humanity. That's only part of it, because they're just one small part of a vast universe of intelligence that is giving us information. And we feel that these are coming from even a higher, what we call ultra-terrestrial source, that's giving us information to transform the planet. Let me just say, one of these things that just came out, very exciting, in Time magazine only a few days ago, a drug that's used for organ transplants for immune suppressants. It's called rapamycin. And they recently did testing in various labs on mice using this, and they found that they can actually elongate a mouse's life by 13 years. That's in our terms, actually, I should say 100 days in their terms, and by using this drug. So this is almost like a new elixir of life that's being found, and it's being able to suppress certain types of reactions within the cell, and they've done a complete study on this. Of course, it's only in mice at this point, but the think that you can actually increase a mouse's lifetime and probably can adapt this to human lifetime. This is a tremendous breakthrough.
Absolutely. Now, just going back to the whole idea of divine intervention, if divine intervention plays a part in 2012, how would that take place, do you think?
Well, there's several stages we believe would be involved here. One, the raising of consciousness has to take place through an inner harmonic. In other words, the electromagnetic body that we have is not sufficient to account for these unusual powers of the mind, such as remote viewing, remote healing. All of this, according to my conversation with a well-known neurophysicist, Henry Stapp, is not possible in terms of contemporary physics. Require a higher quantum state, a higher change of vibration, which we believe comes through certain types of music and certain types of language or psycholinguistic training, which is part of our teaching at the Academy. Through these inductive cues, the mind is orientated to see and to visualize more and more of the non-local field of experience. We realize that we are part of an energy field, much greater than the electromagnetic field, what I call the epikinetic field of vibration. And as we begin to ride these waves of energy, we begin to realize how the ancient mystics and creative scientists of other periods of time were able to explore other regions of consciousness. With that consciousness being raised, then we can begin to familiarize ourselves with other life forms that may share this greater field of consciousness. The Keys of Enoch call this mind two. We go from mind one, which is the hardware and the wetware of our physical system, to one of working with higher energy currents. And those experiences will allow us to visualize ahead of factual time events, happenings, encounters that we can select from that would be very positive and help us, shall we say, elevate our consciousness. So the first part of the rapture is an elevation of consciousness that precedes the physical.
Right, and the physical rapture we feel also is going into a light body. People want to hold on to the physical body, but ultimately in an evolutionary state, it is in the transformation. Even Jesus showed this after his crossing over, after his transformation, that he went from the physical form to the life form. Of course, some people don't believe it anymore, but we believe that those type of things are possible, that you can actually take every cell of your body and change it into light. And why? Because we feel that there is a higher blueprint that we evolved from. We didn't evolve from the earth, we evolved from that higher blueprint. And so you can take every aspect of ourselves and move it back into that higher blueprint once again.
So our true mind is really a super holographic. We are just one part of this larger relationship of universal intelligence that we're already part of. And as we rediscover that, we are reintroduced to that next phase of life that's in the larger plan. According to what I wrote in 1973, I may quote this from Key 313, thus a direct relationship exists between the size of the universe, the diameter of the proton, and our range of vision, which is part of a larger mass, energy, space, time transformation, which involves changes in our basic concepts of the known universe. So rather than see things at a distance, we see things for real within ourselves, and that orientates every cell of our body to experience the change, the quantum change, which some would call poetically the rapture experience.
Now, I've been doing, as you know, a lot of work on this whole idea of interdimensional gateways and interdimensional beings, because I think a lot of time general science is looking out into space when in fact they should be looking a lot closer by. A lot of these things seem to be happening along the lines of what Brian Allen said at our conference last year, where he said there's holes in the sky. I mean, in fact, his book is called A Hole in the Sky, because these things are physically appearing in our space rather than outside. Now, a lot of these things would sort of make sense, wouldn't they? This transformation, because of the dropping of the veil between some of these dimensions. Do you think that answers some of this?
Yeah, definitely. In fact, the pyramid itself actually creates a type of energy field where if you activated the capstone the right way, you would have a vortex, and that vortex would allow you to go into other dimensional realms. And yes, they can exist right here in our same space, or they can exist in other stepping zones, other realities, other places. And we are just part of a vast cosmic mind as far as we're concerned. And I think most importantly is that there is this consciousness field that we can tap into, so we can experience any of this. We don't have to wait for a future time. We don't have to wait for the light body. We actually could experience other dimensions even right now, because we're all part of that consciousness field.
Now, there was a very interesting episode of The Next Generation on Star Trek where Roddenberry wrote a piece that pretty much says what's going on now. It showed a being on board the Enterprise that was actually struggling with a change, and it didn't know what was happening to it, and it changed from a physical humanoid-style body into a light body. Now, do you think that Roddenberry, because this isn't the first time he seems to have got things right, do you think that he had some knowledge of what was going on rather than just straight science fiction writing?
Well, I can speak definitively and say yes. In fact, he was part of a group of scientists and journalists and multimedia specialists invited to a research program that Dr. Puharich and I, the late noted paraphysicist, conducted in New York back in the 1970s. And part of his orientation with this program of teaching led some to postulate a whole new direction of space science, which led to the program, The Next Generation of Star Trek, as Nine, as it's sometimes referred to,
Deep Space Nine,
which is the recognition that there is other life forms. In fact, one picture that was taken of Gene Roddenberry and my colleagues at our facility in New York was developed, and it showed light craft, or in the small dimensional forms of light craft, around the room as we were standing together. So this would qualify, as it were, that the universe as we know it can be interpenetrated through other levels of consciousness and can actually be registered on film for those who are scientifically wise enough to have other forms of validation.
Of course, Roddenberry also worked with Phyllis Schlemmer when she was channeling the Council of Nine, and a lot of people believe that's how the whole Deep Space Nine project came about, even though it was supposedly just for them. They were never going to publish that.
Of course, there's a lot of what I will consider poppycock out on the net regarding false interpretations of something that was very, very scientific and very, very mature.
But actually, Phyllis was working with Andre Bark, so this is all part of the team, and as you know, Phyllis is an associate of ours as well.
Absolutely. Well, I know Phyllis wasn't happy because Gene said that that would never get published, that one. And, of course, after he died, it was made into Deep Space Nine as we now know it. And I believe there was actually at some point a legal action to stop that from going ahead, which is why Deep Space Nine never continued to its full length. But I think that was because it was portrayed in the wrong way and not how Gene would have wanted it.
But actually, of course, right now science fiction is becoming a reality, and that's what's really exciting. And so when you look at some of these films and even cartoons that are changing people, the changers, and how you can go into different realities of your own higher consciousness or your own mental abilities, we're able to do this. We're able to start making changes to affect the planet. I think some of the stuff we work with is the remote viewing, where people can literally visualize and see something at a distance. Russell Targ, when he was working on this, they had a plane downed in Africa, and the government gave him just said, there's a plane down, where is it? And they tuned in right to where that plane was down, and it was in Africa, and they went and they found it. So we can do that. We can go beyond our normal senses, and we can reach out into the local cosmos, and we feel even the higher cosmos, and find out answers.
So the new breakthroughs taking place in future science or paraphysics shows us that there's no such thing as hidden knowledge. Everything is available in a certain frequency, and if you can key into that frequency, then you can see around the corners, you can see distant objects, you can see even off-planetary events take place. The radiations of superluminal light change the action of our physical nerve terminals, and causing us to release as well as to uptake different neurotransmitters into our system, and some instances account for the so-called aura that you see around the heads of ancient mystics and saints of all traditions. So we have to separate, shall we say, pseudoscience from real science, future science, and this is why we call our academy the Academy of Future Sciences. We are pushing the envelope. We're looking at science as a transparency that can bring positive changes that can help us with the right spiritual insights for sustainability, peace, and development that will allow us to graduate as a planetary humanity.
Okay, let's go to the emails quickly. The first one comes in from Sharon, listening in Birmingham in England tonight. And she says, really fascinating stuff with your guests. I wish we could do all 3 hours with the Hertax. And she said, the simple question for her is, how can she find out more about your organization?
Well, I think if she can take a note from you and come to the seminar that we're going to have on the 18th and 19th of this month.
In London.
In London, at the Friends Meeting House. And if she's open to understanding the new sciences and also the concept of how we have a spiritual side of the new sciences, because we are basically both scientific and spiritual at the same time, and that's the whole contradiction that's resolved when we go to higher frequencies.
Right. I have to qualify. We won't be there ourselves, but one of our closest associates, Miss Groninger, is going to be presenting there, and she's both scientific and has a spiritual understanding exactly like we do, so she's able to bring that together.
So if you go to Victoria Dixon's telephone number, those of you who are interested, and Ross, you can give that number once again. I think that should be a good starting point for those who want to see what the next chapter of knowledge is all about.
Absolutely, and that number again is 01926-885131. That's 01926-885131. And if you didn't catch that, just drop me a line, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk, and I'll send that over to you. The event's Saturday and Sunday, the 18th and 19th of July, at the Friends Meeting House near Euston Station in London, and the seminar's on the teachings of the soul and gnosis. Now, our next email comes in from Jed, listening in New Jersey this evening, and he said, this is fascinating stuff, but how do we know if there are aliens, and if there are visitors from somewhere else, that they're all going to be good guys?
Well, exactly. I think that's a great question, and we don't think they are all good guys, and that's part of our work at the Academy. And let me give you our website as well, since he's in New Jersey. If you just go to www.futurescience.org, you can find our website. But one of the basic teachings that we put forth is the fact of discernment. You have to know the various levels of intelligence that are out there, and they're not all good. Some of them are. We worked with Elizabeth Klar down in South Africa, who actually had a great encounter. She was taken aboard a spacecraft. She visited another planet, called Metone, and she was brought back and everything was hunky-dory. But there's other situations where people are literally taken out of their beds at night and taken into situations that they are against their free will.
As researched by our colleague Bud Hopkins here in New York, who wrote a very interesting book some years ago that was made into a television series called The Intruders. So, you know, there's a whole range of intelligence in the universe, pretty much like our ocean full of fish, as well as sharks and critters that are not so nice. And we just have to realize that our little schoolhouse, Mother Earth, is to train the soul, and we have this great, awesome responsibility of realizing that we are essentially vehicles for love and for wisdom, but also vehicles for experience that can help with the raising of consciousness throughout the universe.
And you know, Ross, that's why we feel we've been cut off and kind of isolated for the last 6,000 years, but this is changing, because if we had been evolving in the last 6,000 years with all these levels of intelligence coming to the planet, talking to us, working with us, I mean, we would have just been totally confused, because there are these different types of intelligence. We wouldn't have the background as to who we should work with. And so we think we've been actually quarantined for the last 6,000 years, and now we're coming out of that quarantine. So people have to grow up and realize that we are living in a vast and awesome universe.
Okay, next one comes in from Mary Ann in Blackburn in England. She said, I've been watching Torchwood and I've been fascinated by this, but it poses a good question for your guests. Who speaks for Earth if aliens arrived?
That's a good question, and that fact was posed some years ago by another colleague, Stanton Friedman, a nuclear scientist. Is it Henry Kissinger? Is it the pontiff in Rome? Is it some theologian in London? Is it somebody that comes from the islands of the South Pacific? I think we must all speak for the human race based upon our face-to-face encounters. Will the higher intelligence that we meet with respect our human values, our free will? Will they operate through love and science that's in the open, or will they play games behind the scene in shadow darkness and manipulation of the human psyche? Again, this is why it's so important to have a code of conduct, as well as to forge ahead now what I call a space law system that will allow us to engage with those who can give us trade-offs and substantial information that can be viewed in a worldwide commons to be on the positive side of helping the human race.
And don't forget, this is really not first contact. We've had contact before in the past. There's been many levels of intelligence contacting each other all the time. So really, it's a matter of us awakening to this reality, to the greater universe around us, and to become part of what we consider the brotherhoods and sisterhoods that are working in outer space.
So when we stand in our nakedness before the higher intelligence, it's a very humbling experience to realize there's other levels out there, but there's ultimately the divine level, what we call the ultra-terrestrial or the extra-celestial, that's even beyond the extraterrestrials themselves, and that requires us to really celebrate each day as a day of great love and compassion, experience of knowledge and discovery, but also one of sharing a good report and not dwelling so much on the negative. And this is why, again, we look at this quantum change as something that will take us beyond negativity itself, or as the great apostle John writes, death itself will be conquered as we in the twinkling of an eye, this great shift that will take place.
And we don't feel that necessarily December 2012 is going to be the end, but it is certainly going to be a significant crossing time for some of humanity to understand the greater universe around them.
A benchmark, as it were, in the larger plan of a new anthropology, a new sociology, and a new space physics, of realizing not only have we survived changes, but we're working with a fantastic family of divine beings.
Okay, let's take one more email. This one comes from Bill, listening in Toronto this evening. It says, good evening, new listener to the show, loving it, and I will be a regular listener, I promise. Could your guests tell us, bearing in mind their earlier comments with regards to climate change, what they think of the HAARP project in Alaska?
Well, this is a whole hour by itself. I mean, the HAARP project has been debated by Nick Baglish and others who are well aware of these experiments that have looked at the whole curvature of Mother Earth to deal with certain sound and signal relationships that can affect the human psyche if used improperly, or can advance the human psyche if used properly. So, again, this would be another topic for some other time we could go into. I did want to mention, though, before we leave, your next person is going to talk about the Philadelphia Project. I had a chance to meet with Bob Truex, to Robert Truex some years ago, who was with Naval Intelligence in the United States and had worked with the Philadelphia experiments and said that to me that they were real. They were paraphysical breakthroughs of great significance. And so after all of these years, we're finally beginning to get other supportive evidence showing that we have been working with a auxiliary science for many, many years, and now we're shifting into future science.
Well, I must just tell you, JJ, that this guest has been on before. We met him at UFO Congress in Nevada. He was introduced to us by a very good source, and the claim is he was actually there on board. Now, he won't tell you this when you talk to him, because he's more interested in getting the credible information out there, but he certainly doesn't look old enough to have been on there, but he says it's because of a time slip situation that took place that he's here now, so he doesn't look the age that he actually is. So does that sort of make sense to you?
Right. Well, whether you talk about the HAARP project or the Philadelphia project, it's all this new science that is being able to come forth in terms of electromagnetic fields, vibrational frequencies. And when we see ourselves as being part of that energy field, you can see how we can create wormholes or mini black holes, mini white holes, and go into other spaces, other places, back and forth in time. Technically, there's really no separation in terms of time. One, if you are looking from a higher perspective down, the past, the present, and the future, even Einstein tells us, is really all one.
This is why we encourage our listeners out there to get a copy of the Book of Knowledge, Keys of Enoch. It has just come out with new color plates. We couldn't afford to put the book in color many years ago. It was too expensive, but now things have happened with graphics. So it's much easier to color code some of the plates, and this new edition is fantastic, and I would encourage our listeners throughout the world who are interested in the higher physics, higher psychology, and higher spirituality to look into the respective bookstores and online situations that would allow them to get a copy of the keys.
Okay. Now, there is a website as well for keys, isn't there?
Just thekeysofenoch.org, yeah. So futurescience.org or keysofenoch.org are our two main websites. And we really appreciate all the great things going on that you've been doing, that you've been involved with. The crop circles for 2009 are really exciting. So 2008 was also exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible manifestations of what we call pictographs.
Well, there's certainly been a lot of early ones this year. Guys, it's always a delight to have you on the program. Thank you so much for staying an extra half an hour. If you could just stay on the phone for a second for me, I just want to have a quick chat to you off air.
We say to the radio audience throughout the world to keep smiling, to look to the stars at Astra and find the divine spark within your heart. Use it wisely with great compassion, because Mother Earth needs all of the love and attention, and we are here to give it out in all directions, and may all of our dear friends join us in this great.
And we send our prayers to the people in China right now with the earthquake.
Absolutely. Stay on the phone, guys. Thank you very, very much for taking the time this evening, especially for the extra half an hour. Just got to tell you, the audience, that coming up in half an hour's time, Drew Strom is going to be telling us the second stage about the Philadelphia experiment. So don't go away. That's going to be some pretty amazing revelations in hour three this evening. And in the next half an hour, I'm going to be doing your horoscope. So if you've got a star sign that you want to know what's going on for you this month, drop me a line right now, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. We're also going to be talking about this ghost footage from Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch that's been circulating online. We'll be back right after
this. The show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show. The proposition is straightforward. We install digital posters at any location on your premises and then stream any information you require remotely to your high-definition screens. The concept is called digital signage. And InYourFace Media is a leading business providing this technology. InYourFace Media is a young, enthusiastic company with the expertise and infrastructure to get your message across. We offer fast, interactive, animated and video marketing communication on high-definition screens in conjunction with remote media and their award-winning Signage Live software. We've installed a large number of HD digital screens in a wide variety of environments. If you're as excited with digital signage as we are, then please call us. We'd be more than happy to arrange a meeting and discuss your needs and our solutions in greater detail on 0117 942 0670, or visit our website at inyourfacemedia.co.uk. Glastonbury Radio reaches a truly global audience of interactive listeners surfing the World Wide Web whilst listening to our programs. Because of the global nature of online digital radio, we're seeking those forward-thinking people who run online businesses to come and take advantage of our low advertising rates right now. Our packages start from as little as £100 a month and and new advertisers get 3 months for the price of two. So contact us now on 0871 871 3666 or email ross at glastonburyradio.net.
The Hex family has been making traditional farmhouse cider in Somerset for six generations, since 1840. Using apples grown in our orchards upon Glastonbury Tour, our ciders and perry are still made the traditional way, using wooden barrels and sold straight from the wood. Try our port wine of Glastonbury, now on draft at the George and Pilgrims Hotel in Glastonbury. Or better still, visit our cider farm at 9 to 11 Middle Lee in Street, just 2 miles from Glastonbury Town Centre, and taste our award-winning cider. Perry and apple juice, as well as traditional blends. We have many single varieties like Kingston Black, cider vinegar, local cheddar cheese, jams, pickles, chutneys, marmalade, honey, Somerset Royal Cider Brandy, and a range of cider jars and mugs, all produced locally from farms around the Somerset Levels. So come and visit us today for a real taste of Somerset. Visit hexfarmhousecider.co.uk or call us on 01458 442 367. We welcome group tours, but don't come all at once, will you? Don't forget, that's hexfarmhousecider.co.uk.
The Connections Magazine, the leading independent free guides to personal development, natural therapies and all things mystic. The three regional magazines cover the Southwest, London and Southeast and the Midlands, with articles and columns by Dr. Alan Sweeney, Barbara Brennan, Dr. Keith Hearn, Joseph Sarah, Karen Kay, Gail Force and many more. Why not advertise from only £230 a year? Your events, therapies, centres, courses and workshops, retreats, readings, products for sale, organic and vegetarian shops. With us to our thousands of like-minded readers. See theconnections.co.uk or phone 01747 823 424.
Email the show, ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Well, I've got to say thank you to all the new listeners that have tuned into Now That's Weird this evening. Many of you, especially to hear the Hurtak, some of you because of the Coast to Coast interview I did with George Newry quite recently, but I hope you're enjoying it. Still a lot more to come. As I say, in Hour 3, Drew Strom joining me, and lots of rumours about where Drew actually came from. Was he actually on board the USS Eldridge? He certainly seems to know more about the experiment than anybody I've ever met before, and he'll be telling you about the second stage of his research in Hour 3 tonight after 11 o'clock our time. Now, we're going to be doing the horoscopes in a moment, but just before we do, there's a couple of other matters that I want to bring to your attention. Let's first start with Gary McKinnon. Many of you know that Gary McKinnon is an alleged computer hacker who got into NASA's computer, found evidence of non-terrestrial officers. Make what you can of that. And obviously wanted to find out about the truth about UFOs. The guy suffers from Asperger's. Now, I have a daughter with a cross between Asperger's and ADHD, so I know that these people don't see grey. They just see black and white. They have to have answers. It's got to be yes or it's got to be no. There can't be any kind of maybe. And this is why the guy needed to find out the truth about UFOs. Now, when he was arrested, as you know if you heard the interview with him on my programme here, he was told he'd probably get a few weeks community service. Such were the charges. Not very much actually happened. And then, of course, the Americans got this new extradition treaty, and all of a sudden he caused, what was it, 7 million quid worth of damage or something stupid to computers and communication systems and weapon systems. It's all been trumped up. And they're calling for his extradition. Now, it seems very straightforward to me. British law says that you are innocent until proven guilty. He must, therefore, stand for a British trial, and only if found guilty should he be extradited. Now, I've been calling for this for some considerable time, as most of my listeners know. Well, I'm pleased to say this week the Daily Mail have got behind the campaign. They're doing a piece every day on Gary, and they're now supporting our campaign as well to raise money to see if we can take the government to court over the unfair extradition treaty. And there is a donations button on the Now That's Weird website that you can go to from the front page and donate towards that cause. Now, until now, we've only raised about £200 and we need £5,000. So if any of you listening are feeling particularly wealthy, we really do need some help, because we really would like to take the UK government to court on this issue and have this extradition treaty overturned. We have the backing of one of the top human rights lawyers in London, Bindman's LLC, willing to back us on this, but we do need an initial fighting fund. So if you can help with that, just go to nowthatsweird.co.uk, and over on the left navy bar you'll see a donations button, and you can donate there. Now, I've got to say well done to the Daily Mail, but also to a number of pop stars and senior politicians that have now climbed aboard this campaign and are being extremely vocal on Gary's behalf. I think it's good news. If you want to know the full story, go to freegary.org.uk. That's freegary.org.uk. I did try and get Janice, Gary's mother, on the show tonight, but unfortunately she's been so busy with press interviews this week, she's just not been available, which is a shame, but we will try to talk to her at some stage in the future. Now, on a separate point, Michael Jackson's ghost. Yes, we all saw the memorial service. We all know that Michael died while I was at the Glastonbury Festival. I think everybody will remember where they were on the night that Jacko died. And one of the strangest things I saw on Facebook was, rest in peace, Michael Jackson. He touched a lot of young people. I'll leave that one for you to decide. But there seems to be a ghost video circulating on the internet, which you can find by going to YouTube and searching Michael Jackson ghost. Now, two strange things about this video. Many of you may have looked at it already and said, no, this is just a fake, or this is just a reflection. Let me tell you, it isn't. This was actually filmed allegedly by CNN. News crew were actually in the building, so it wasn't ghost hunters or anything of that ilk. It was an actual news crew filming. But the strange thing for me, as many of you know, I've been a scientific paranormal investigator for many years. Penny and I sat down and studied this footage. Now, any of you that know science know that a shadow cannot create its own shadow. Now, the Michael Jackson image, or the ghost image, appears to go from left to right across a hallway in another room. Now, that could be caused by someone moving outside or within the building, throwing a reflection. But the strange thing here is that the image itself reflects on the floor, which means the image itself has to be solid to be able to throw the shadow. Now, if the image is solid and throwing its own shadow into the polished floor, then to me, that's one that takes a little more explaining. Now, it's either the news crew having a laugh and doing a very, very clever hoax and fake, and I can't really see any reason why they would want to do that, or this is some of the best ghost footage I've ever seen. Now, I don't know which. I'm tempted to say that without further evidence, I'm not going to stick my neck on the line and say it's a ghost. What I will say is it's not quite as easily explainable as many people out there seem to think. You may think differently, and I'd like your comments on that, please. Usual address, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. Go and have a look at the video, come back to me. Now, let's go to the emails. Nice to have you back, Ross. 2 weeks is a long time in radio. Laugh out loud. Isn't it just? Just wanted to say, 2 weeks ago I attended the funeral of a family member in Cardiff, and lo and behold, the father conducting the service was none other than our friend Lionel Fanthorpe, a guest on your show just a few weeks earlier. I had the opportunity of a brief chat with him afterwards, mentioning I had heard him on the show. I have to say what a nice man he is, and indeed he spoke highly of you, indicating he enjoyed coming on the show and was always willing to oblige. I just thought you might like the feedback. Kind regards, Ray in Newport. Thank you, Ray. Yes, Lionel and I, again, good friends. We talk regularly whenever we get the chance, and he is a regular guest on the show and a very, very nice man as well, and a good researcher. So thanks for that. Hi, Ross and Penny. Nice to have you back on air. Can we have the stars for Cancerians, please? Thank you for Rosie in Southampton. Well, yes, of course, I'm a Cancerian as well. It was my birthday while I was away. And thank you for all the wishes. I appreciate that. Cancer, summer is at its peak and you are thriving whilst enjoying some relaxation. Around the full moon on the 7th, you may feel alienated as the Earth is eclipsing the moon and you feel driven far from your home front or well-known territory, which makes you feel insecure and unbalanced. You'll find stability through listening to what people around you have to say, and it will make sense after a while. Actually, you will have a moment of clarity on the 9th. Light will shine in the darkness, and new visions are born. Good inspirations will fill your mind later, and maybe a journey. Until again on the solar eclipse in your sign on the 22nd, you may feel all security slip from under your feet and react from fear rather than from rational thought. Whatever you fear, it will not happen because it is too late, or it is too late to do anything about it. Either way, it can be a lesson in letting go and thinking of the bigger picture and perspectives of the situation. Then new energies will enter your life and you will find new ways to pursue your passions. That's you, Cancerians. Now, don't forget, these stars are provided to us by local astrologer Lona Bang White Star, and the website is whitestarastrology.co.uk. That's whitestarastrology.co.uk. Leos, things might be unclear in your workplace. Everything seems weird and disconnected. However, you can observe developments from a space behind everybody, and it is actually more sane and solid than it appears. There will be a message on the 14th clarifying things and a few more surprises in store from the unknown. Ooh. The new moon on the 22nd is eclipsing the sun, and you may fear that all is lost, but you must be patient and see what reality really is. Within hours, the situation may have changed completely, and you feel like a whole new human being, while actually you are pulling on some resources from the past that may be long forgotten. There you go, that's you Leos. Moving on to Virgo. We'll do a few of these now and then we'll come back to them in a bit. There is an inspiration to direct you in the way of new times and opportunities, especially if you want to change your work or goals. Only the emotions are volatile and may upset any attempt on planning. Late month, you will not want to be at work at all, but keep your dream in mind. You can get there if you really want it. Mid-month looks positive for you Virgos, reaching some of your goals as you are able to focus on the way forward, and there is support from other people. Something is replaying itself, but you do not recognize this at first. Someone may point it out to you a little sharply, but this is good for you. And there you go, that's Virgo, sorry. Libra, we'll do Libra and then we'll take a break from these. People are having fun without including you, maybe going on holiday and you feel like in a dark space resenting your lot. But you still have to, you have work to do, and actually it could be more exciting than you expected. Soon your time will come to travel, but you will learn so much more and the experience will take you further than before. Still, duties follow wherever you go, and you may have to go and support somebody who is not well. The end of the month offers the fun and enjoyment that you seek, and now is the real holiday time. Just leave the laptop behind so that you cannot check your emails from your job. Oh yes, we all do that, don't we? So there you go, let's take a break from those now. We'll come back to those in a little while. That's the stars for those four. We'll see if we can fit a few more of those in after this break, coming up right now.
Festival Times, the UK's number one free music paper. To find out where we're giving away our paper this summer, or keep up to date on band interviews and festival reviews, check out festivaltimes.co.uk for promotions and advertising, or to buy shares in the FT for only £1. Then call the team on 0203 2875 123. Festival Times, the new music paper for new music fans.
The Glastonbury Goddess Conference is celebrating its 14th year from the 29th of July to the 2nd of August, with fringe events from the 26th of July. This year we're celebrating the Sunfire Goddess at Lammas. Wonderful women, men and children from all over the world come to participate to honour Granny, the Sunfire Goddess. Ritual dance, songs, workshops, pampering day spa, just to name a few events. Have you ever wanted to do a firewalk? Well, now's your chance. See Starhawk and meet Radiant Heart, Julie Felix, Caroline Hillier, Nigel Shaw, many more talented people to entertain you. For bookings and day tickets and information, contact www.goddessconference.com.
This month, Luxuriate Bath and Body will be celebrating their first birthday. Call in to number 20 The Gauntlet Glastonbury to buy something to pamper yourself or a loved one. You even get 10% off if you mention Glastonbury Radio. If you can't visit, call us on 01458 833016 or shop online at luxuriate.co.uk. Want to talk direct to potential customers? Then think digital, think video, think local, think In Your Face Media. In Your Face is a brand new media proposition targeted at affluent Bristol areas. We're currently installing digital wireless posters in wine bars, gyms and cafes, as well as doctors and dentist surgeries. And while they're waiting, they could be reading or watching your advertising messages. The technology is blindingly clever. The screens are operated wirelessly via the internet, so we can program the dynamic content that will appear on every individual screen. Slots start from as little as 2 pence. For more details, call us on 0117 942 0670 or visit our website at inyourfacemedia.co.uk. What are you doing on Saturday, 4th of July 2009, between 12 p.m. and 5 p.m? Why not come to the Gauntlet Day celebrations to commemorate the second birthday of the Gauntlet Shopping Thoroughfare? A double-winning spectacular, which recreated a secret medieval passageway leading to the heart of the town. The Gauntlet invites you to join in with our festivities and help. There'll be a radio roadshow, celebrity acts on stage, various events including a quiz challenge featuring the 3Gs and the Moaning Old Gear. hits. So whether you want live music from a star performer or would like to enter the stocks, the choice is yours. Fun for the whole family, free of charge on Gauntlet Day, the Gauntlet Shopping Thoroughfare in the heart of Glastonbury. Visiting Glastonbury and looking for somewhere nice to stay close to the town centre? Then have a listen to what some of our previous guests have said about Barham's B&B. A hidden treasure, real luxury and excellent accommodation. Looked after so well in a really nice friendly atmosphere. Another 2 days at the best ever B&B. A friendly welcome, lovely rooms and a tasty breakfast awaits you at Barham's B&B. Check out our website at barhamsbnb.co.uk and for booking inquiries, simply email gene.hbarham@yahoo.co.uk or call us on 01458 837 875. Rates from just £35 a night.
Can you tell who it is yet? You're right. It's Rolf Harris on the Feel Good Friday show on Glastonbury Radio. Keep listening.
Whoops. How did that Feel Good Friday jingle get on the Now That's Weird program? I don't know. Yes, it was Rolf Harris. Rolf came on my Feel Good Friday show just before the festival to have a chat with us and did that lovely jingle for us. Right, welcome back to Now That's Weird. Now, Shamrock, who's a new listener and is in the chat room at the moment, has said, can you do Aquarius for me? Shamrock, delighted, and welcome to the program. There could be arguments for you, Aquarians, on the 2nd. Oh, we have passed that already. About money and children, or somebody wants to throw it all away on fun and games, which you don't think much of, and nor should you. It's better to build up and wait for the more stable times ahead. Meanwhile, somebody at home, maybe a mother figure, offers the peace and harmony that you really need, though you rarely admit it, and she will help solve the problems. Cooperation or business partnership will prove beneficial around the 9th, and you may harvest the fruits of previous labour, or put in good seeds for the future. At the same time, it's a good time for a holiday. Time away with people you like. There you go, that's you Aquarians, the Shamrock. A few bits of that, I realise, were earlier in the month, but the trouble is, you see, Lorna sends us these stars over at the beginning of the month, and I have to fit them in as and when I can, and having had 2 weeks off from the show, the 10th of July, which is today, it's been the first opportunity I've had to do them, so there you go, these things happen. Now, I'm getting a few emails in about this Michael Jackson ghost footage. A lot of people agreeing with me, saying that it is quite strange, not an easy one to work out. There doesn't seem to be an easy answer to it. And one or two emails saying, nah, it's just a hoax, it's a fake. Well, we don't know that, do we? It's easy for the cynics and skeptics amongst you to say it's a fake, but without actually sitting at the table with the person that did it, how can we really say that? I'm not saying it's not a fake. It's certainly an interesting piece of footage, and if it is fake, it's a very good one. But you need to be just a little bit open-minded, I think, on this one, because let me put a scenario to you, okay? Now, you know I've been investigating the paranormal for many years. I've seen things that I cannot explain rationally or logically. 90% of it, I can. But 10% I can't. Now, that doesn't mean that I can convince you ghosts exist just because I've seen one or seen something that I think is. But I've always tried to keep an open mind on it. Okay? Now, I want to put a scenario to you for you to think about for a moment. What if Michael Jackson is part of this plan for change of 2012? Maybe he was taken to come back and prove the veil is dropping between the dimensions. Now, again, I'm not saying there's anything in this. This is purely just me speculating. But somebody high profile like that, that people take notice of, is far more likely to get noticed returning in that way than, say, a ghost at some hospital in Scotland. It won't get the same sort of publicity. So just maybe Jackson, who spent a lot of his life trying to heal the world, help the world, make the changes that we all want, could actually be a pawn in the Matrix's plan, if you like, and could possibly be a part of what we're going to see between now and 2012. Now, it's just a scenario, and you might say, what a load of rubbish. You may well do, but tell me what you think. Ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk, because a lot of the time these things, we poo-poo them, and we say, nah, that can't happen, and then, of course, it comes back, kicks us in the face, and is just that. And many of us within Strange Phenomena Research have had that experience where we've downed something, said it's definitely not this, and then been kicked back. And on that very point, let's pick up on crop circles. I had a long discussion with my old mate Andy Collins, who came down to Glastonbury last week, and we were sitting at the back of the Georgian Pilgrim just having a chat with him and Sue, his good lady. And he said that I know a lot of the people that make crop circles. He said there are at least two teams that start off in the barge inn, and they go out regularly, and they've been out alongside people like Lucy Pringle, and they've not even been seen. They're that quiet and that good. He said, but the strange thing is, most of them come from shamanistic backgrounds, and they're doing these crop circles not to go out and do hoaxes, but because they've been inspired to make certain patterns. Now, many of these people claim to have had really strange experiences whilst they're making the crop circles. So yes, some of them, maybe most of them, are man-made, but they're not man-made without help from somewhere else. Now, you may recall I discussed this with Stuart Dyke on the programme quite recently, and it's an intriguing area of research, because what is inspiring someone to make a circle saying that there's going to be massive sunspot activity on July the 7th, and lo and behold, a week later, it is true. Now, is that luck? I don't think so. Is it coincidence? Surely not. We've been going through a period where there's been virtually no sunspot activity. So who's going to go out on a realm and say, on the 7th of July, it's all suddenly going to kick off? It's weird. It really is. I have to ask you the question. Crop circles, man-made or not, is there some other form of intervention? What do you think? ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. And going back to the Gary McKinnon thing, got an email in here from Frank, who's listening today in London. He said, I've been campaigning for McKinnon for some time, and it's good that people are finally getting behind this and finally getting on the case. I just hope it's not too late. Frank, I'm with you on that. Absolutely 100%. We're waiting for a decision from the courts at the moment as to another judicial appeal, or judicial review, should I say. And we hope that goes in Gary's favour. We are still in a situation at the moment where it could go either way, and we hope that the support hasn't come through too late, because, let's face it, this guy's been sort of sitting there on extradition row for several years now, and we need to get some decisions made quickly on this. Now, as I say, we have got an appeal going on the show. You can go to the front page now, that's weird.co.uk. On the left-hand side, you'll see a navi bar, and halfway down it says Legal Fighting Fund. If you click on that, you can actually make a donation via PayPal. Now, all of that money is going towards Bindman's LLC, which is a human rights law firm in London, and they need £5,000 as an initial fighting fund to get a legal case underway to take the UK government to court to try to have the unfair and one-sided extradition treaty overturned. Now, if this law firm believe they have a case and they believe it's worth taking it to court, then I believe it's worth fighting for, and I believe it's worth raising money for. I hope you do too. Now, there are certain entities that have been on this show before that have tried to criticise this legal fighting fund because it's not for them, and they've made all sorts of stupid accusations. I can assure every listener now that if this legal fighting fund doesn't reach enough for us to do this, everybody will get refunds, or if they'd prefer, it will be donated to the legal fighting fund for Gary McKinnon, and you will get the choice of that. So there is absolutely no dodgy deals going on there, I can assure you. It's a straight fighting fund, it's banked in a different account, and it's held for Bindman's LLC lawyers in London. The Navi bar, as I say, is the link, and now that's weird.co.uk. Right, now we're looking again at some possible changes to Now That's Weird, and there's been quite a few suggestions to the way we do this, whether we keep this as a 3-hour show every Friday night, or whether we convert it to a nightly show and do it every day, whether we make it a podcast, whether we make it available for download. So many different ideas have been sent in to us, and I'd like your views, please. ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. Do you enjoy it in its current format, 3 hours every Friday? Would you like to hear it every night? Would you like to hear maybe just a 1-hour show every night? Would you prefer it to be over a weekend rather than on Friday? Just let me know your thoughts, and we will take the audience's views into consideration when we're discussing the next part of it. Many of you are asking for archives. I can tell you the archives are being worked on. Kenton is going to be working with me, one of our partners here on Now That's Weird, to actually get all the archives edited down and put onto CD, and you will be able to buy them through the Now That's Weird shop when it's revamped and rerun. And they're going to be quite cheap, they're not going to be expensive. Basically this is just helping us fund the show and the time that it takes. But what we want to do is we want to get the archives of 4 years worth of programs and put them all on CD so that you can listen to them in your cars or at home. Many people have asked for these, and obviously we'd like to do that. So that is coming. I don't know how long it's going to take to do, because it's not an easy job. We literally have got 4 years virtually 4 years of shows, 3 hours for each show, three guests on each show, and obviously every single one has to be edited to take out the adverts and the music so that we can actually put those on CD. So it's quite a big job. It's going to take a little while, but please bear with us. It is on our agenda and we will try and do it, because I think it's important. You've asked, you the audience have asked us for it, so at the end of the day, you the audience are the people that makes this show worth doing. If there was no audience, there'd be no point in me sitting here gaggling every Friday night for 3 hours. So thank you for your views. ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. Now, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking to Drew Strom. Now, any of you that heard Drew's first interview on the show a few weeks ago know that he was in a position where he knows a lot more than most people about what happened on the USS Eldridge back in, when was it, 1947, wasn't it, I think. Not that the date's in front of me, I think so, I'll check that out in a moment. Now, he's got the second part of his research up for download now, and he'll be giving you the details in the next hour of the show. So stay tuned for that, it's going to be a cracking hour. Some new evidence, some new discussion on the Philadelphia experiment. For those of you that don't know what it is, back in, I think it was 1947, Penny? Or was it earlier than that? I can't remember. I'll have to check the date. But it was supposedly a Tesla-based experiment where they made the USS Eldridge disappear. But when it reappeared, crew members were actually merged into the metal of the decks. A lot of people lost their lives. Some people ended up in mental homes and all sorts of things over this. So it's an amazing story. And it was, in fact, 1943. I've just been told I got the date wrong. 1943. The USS Eldridge was then apparently scrapped and sold to the Greek Navy, although a lot of people believe that the boat that went to the Navy was not the same one, and that it's still lost in time, and it's still appearing in various places. And there's been appearances all over the world of what people believe to be the Eldridge. So we're going to be talking some more with Drew Strom right after the break.
The world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
Zoink, Scoob! I smell something weird!
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury Radio hero.
The special benefactors that help keep us.
In 1971, US President Nixon declared a war on cancer. 30-plus years later, it continues, taking the lives of loved ones and consuming billions in currency all over the world. Why is that, one must ask? A prudent question, as 15-plus cultures around the planet remain free of this and other diseases that are rife in the modern world. What are the factors in their lives that enable this to be? Well, actually, the answers have been known for a very, very long time. For further information, visit the Safe Living Health Network at safeliving.info, whose mission is researching, providing information, and supplying carefully selected products that potentially provide protection for people's health, along with reducing the risk of contracting lifestyle-related diseases. Why not check out apricotshop.co.uk as well? Put you and your family's well-being first. Prevention is undoubtedly the key to a vibrant existence. Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space itself and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area that we call... Now that's weird.
Yes, welcome back. We're in hour three of the show. Now that's weird with me, Ross Hemsworth. And just before we go to my next guest, there's a couple of emails come in. Also, just want to tell you, for those of you that are listening to the Glastonbury radio stream tonight, you'll have just heard Blackheart with a single that's coming out at the end of August called Wednesday Afternoon. It's coming out on Angel Air Records. You can find out more about them at blackheartmusic.co.uk. They're playing tomorrow night at the King Arthur in Glastonbury. Wonderful band. We've been supporting them for some time here on the station, and we got that single a long time before anyone else did, so you'll probably be hearing it on Radio 2 soon. There's a bit of money being spent on it, pluggers being involved, and Radio 2 have now started to pick up on Blackheart, so I think you'll be hearing a lot more of them, but just remember where you heard it first, here on Now That's Weird, okay? Right, let's go to the emails first before we introduce my next guest, and a couple of things on crop circles here. Hello Ross, on the subject of crop circles, if most of them are made by people as you suggest, then why are they not observed making these crop circles by all these crop circle watchers that are supposed to be wandering around during the night? One's senses are heightened during the night hours, particularly hearing. Surely someone would hear or see something that's going on in these circles. Regards, Dave in Gwent. Thank you, Dave, and that's something I've actually said before on the show. But how have they not seen? But as Andrew Collins pointed out to me in the conversation, he said that these guys are so good at what they do, they've been within inches, literally, of people like Lucy Pringle and the lady from America that was on the show, and I can't remember her name at the moment, someone will remind me, but they said they've actually seen her walk past, but they've not seen... she's not seen them. So it is possible to do it. Now, I'm not saying they're all man-made, not at all. I've stood in some of these circles with Penny in recent weeks. We've spent some time going up there looking around, and as you know, we're doing a live broadcast from the Silent Circle Cafe in a couple of weeks' time. The whole idea of this is to look and see whether it's possible, and some of these things are impossible to make in the time they appear, because some of these things have appeared in 30 minutes. It's physically impossible, for it doesn't matter how big the team is, to make a crop circle in 30 minutes that's as complicated as some of these things are and of that size. So I'm not saying they all are. All I'm saying is Andrew Collins has met two of the teams that are making many of them, and that's the difference. Also from Dave and Gwent, hello Ross, in reply to your question about your show, I'm very happy with the Friday night slot. Keep it the way it is. Okay, Dave, thanks for that. Much appreciated. We are looking at changes at the moment, but we've done this before. It usually ends up that you like it just the way it is. So we usually end up keeping it the way it is. But I was having a chat with our webmaster, Johnny P, earlier in the week, and we were talking about how we can perhaps vibe it up a little and change the format somewhat and make it a little bit more exciting. But it seems that you like it just the way it is, so I think we're probably going to be sticking with it just the way it is. Right, let me tell you a little bit about our next guest before I introduce him. Drew Strom has been involved in the research of the Philadelphia experiment for many, many years. A lot of people believe he was actually there, he was involved, but he will never tell you that one-to-one because he wants you to concentrate on the research rather than how he came about it. But his work spans an awful long time, I can tell you that, and of all the people I've ever spoken to with regards to the Philadelphia experiment, nobody has come up with so much and so much fact surrounding the incident as Drew has. And he's on the phone from America right now. Drew, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Rod. It's a pleasure.
It's good to have you back on the show. It's been a while, I know, a couple of months, I think, since the last time we had you on. But you're now breaking through with the next stage of the research.
Yes, yes. We just released our second report, which is titled Ghost Ship in Distress.
Now, we're going to be giving some details from that, which I'll need you to do for me in a moment, because some of my research and stuff here and notes has all gone astray. I had a computer problem this afternoon, and I've got my questions all sorted out for you here, and everything else seems to have vanished, so I will need you to help us with that as we go along, but we'll get there. I was supposed to have downloaded this document, people. Drew sent it across to me to download, and I've just not been able to do it, so we're sort of working a little blind on this, but we'll get there. Let's start at the beginning. Just briefly explain what the project's all about and what you started out to achieve.
Well, phase transition, the Philadelphia experiment, is our published serial publication, which is dedicated brought solely to resolving the mystery surrounding the allegations of the Navy conducting experiments in invisibility and teleportation back in 1943. What our publications, what we intend to do with our publications is to get our listeners and readers past all the doubt. And we're going to do that by giving you a preponderance of evidence that you'll actually need to really see the truth. For the first time in about, you know, five plus decades, you'll be able to see through the maze of disinformation, misinformation, misinterpretation, to include clearly seeing a conspiracy by our high-ranking government officials who covered up this entire event.
Now, Drew, first thing I've got to do is ask you whether you can speak a bit louder, because we've got the volume pushed right up here and you are quite quiet, so
okay.
If you can do that for us, that would help.
But I now, can certainly do that.
Fantastic. Now, why is it so important to resolve this mystery?
Well, it's important because what I believe, and Deborah believes, is that there's a paradigm shift that comes with resolving this mystery. This is a contemporary mystery, and we initially believed it was going to be difficult to solve it, but what we need to think about is, what if the Navy did actually make this ship disappear? What if they were able to make it teleport from one point to another point hundreds of miles away? What would this mean to you? It comes down to a personal paradigm shift in how you look at the world you live within. It also has, in my opinion, a means in which an alternative means of generating free energy. Many people believe that Tesla was involved in the concept of this experiment, and it is also our opinion, which is the same. And Tesla had always worked on generating free energy. So we believe that we can get beyond our oil crisis and fuel issues of today. If this particular experiment is proven, we can actually put in place this new alternative method. We also believe that it would bring about a new means of transportation. Have you ever heard, Ross, any recent comments about the ghost cars?
I've heard things about them. I don't know much about them.
It's where people are driving down the road and they know that somebody's behind them. There's no exit or ramp for them to take off, but they just disappear.
Yeah, I've heard stories of this. I've heard people who think they're being followed by someone and then they look in the mirror and the car's just vanished.
Well, this is that new means of transportation I'm talking about.
Now that's interesting.
There is the ability for individuals to be able to move not only themselves, but even the vehicle they're in through time and space. Wouldn't it be nice if you wanted to go to New York and have a nice Italian dinner to be able to just get in your car and minutes later be there?
Absolutely, yeah. There's plenty of places I'd be visiting if I could do that. Now, let's just take a step back, Drew. For those that don't know much about the Philadelphia experiment, let's just take a step backwards and talk about the actual experiment itself and what they were trying to achieve.
Well, that is up for speculation. And what we believe they were trying to achieve was exactly what Carlos Miguel Allende had witnessed, and that was a means to make a ship disappear and teleport from one point to another. Whether it's around the block or a couple of hundred miles or around the world, I believe that that's what the government was attempting to do. This particular experiment, of course, took place in 1943, and Carlos Miguel Allende, it wasn't until probably about the mid-1950s that the rumors began, when Allende started to talk about what he had saw back in 43.
Now, what's the website? Just give us the website address very quickly that people can go to get this downloaded document.
Yeah, you can go to www.thephiladelphiaexperiment.com. There's a lot of different websites out there, so if you want to go to it directly, put http://before the www, and it'll take you right there.
Okay, that's www.thephiladelphiaexperiment.com. Check that out now, and the latest download, Ghost Ship in Distress, is there available for you. Now, we're talking about an incident that happened in 1943. What a lot of people don't know, and you told us in the last interview when you were on, was that Winston Churchill was amongst the people that were there when this experiment took place.
Yes.
This
was not an experiment that was solely involving the United States military. It actually involved both Canada and England. The evidence that this is something that's down the line that we'll be publishing later. But Winston Churchill and his high-ranking military officers and some of his political those that were in the politics on that time were actually there. FDR was there. So, and one of the things that I tried to stress the last time we spoke is that Sir Dudley Pound, the Royal Navy's senior admiral, he was one of the individuals there, and then shortly after the experiment, he had passed on. So he, in my opinion, became one of the casualties of the knowledge of this particular experiment. There were a number of other men that were there that saw that were casualties on this side of the waters.
It's interesting in itself. Now, we're coming up towards a break. We've got a couple of minutes. Just very quickly, what makes your work different to other previously published works on the Philadelphia experiment?
Well, what we are attempting to do is establish a proper foundation for our readers to stand upon. This foundation will be created by giving you evidence to what we speak of. We're not just saying things to say it. We are going to prove to you, beyond all doubt, everything that we speak of. All our findings and all are based upon factual documentation.
Now, what makes you believe that you and Deborah can finally solve this mystery, which has been a mystery since 1943?
Because we already have. We've got the goods.
Excellent answer.
Listen, Ross. Both Deborah and I are already way past the point of all doubt. We have the evidence, and that's what phase transition is all about, is to get it out as quickly as we possibly can. If we went through the process of publishing books, it would be still 2 to 3 years before we could even begin to think of getting this information out.
Okay, well, we're coming up to a break. I'm going to come back with Drew in just a moment, where we're going to go into the details of the second report, Ghost Ship in Distress. We're going to be talking about that at some length. If you've got any questions for Drew, you can start getting those in now. ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll be back right after this.
I smell something weird.
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Here's one for your diary. The Craft and Psychic Fair, 13th and 14th of June at the Georgian Pilgrim Hotel, upstairs via the spiral staircase. We'll have some great readers, aura readings, etc., and many stalls, including North American merchandise. A limited number of stalls are available. To inquire, just email ysharp9@aol.com or call into number 9 The Gauntlet in Glastonbury. Alternatively, you can call 01458 833377 or 0781-249-6558. Stalls are just £35 for a day or £60 for the whole weekend. Are you truly happy? Do you feel that there's more to life but don't know where to find it? More to Life magazine is the spiritual magazine to enlighten you with simple, easy-to-read articles on everything from angels, stress management and healing, through to Reiki, yoga and meditation. For just £13.50 for a year subscription, we have the tools to help you discover what you really want from life. Visit moretolifemag.co.uk to find out more about us. Exploration is the path to a better life.
The Crystal Sound Bowl Experience. Relax in private surroundings close to Glastonbury Town Centre and benefit from the powerful energies created by Crystal Sound Bowls. Experience deep relaxation, boost the immune system, and release tension at a very deep level. The soothing yet stimulating sounds resonate with the chakras, helping the body to be in its natural state, peaceful and at ease. For discussions, consultations and appointments, please telephone Steve Dash on 07768 252323, or email steve-at-hotmail.co.uk. The Crystal Sound Bowl Experience.
The Connections Magazine, the leading independent free guides to personal development, natural therapies and all things mystic. The three regional magazines cover the Southwest, London and Southeast and the Midlands, with articles and columns by Dr. Alan Sweeney, Barbara Brennan, Dr. Keith Hearn, Joseph Sarah, Karen Kay, Gail Force and many more. Why not advertise from only £230 a year? Your events, therapies, centres, courses and workshops, retreats, readings, products for sale, organic and vegetarian shops. With us to our thousands of like-minded readers. See theconnections.co.uk or phone 01747 823 424. Hurry, time is ticking. Whether it's for fitness, for fun, or for the family, Avalon Leisure Centres have something for everyone. Visit us now at Froome Leisure Centre, Wells Leisure Centre, and Strode Swimming Pool and Fitness Centre in Street. Visit our website for details at avalonleisure.co.uk or call now for great savings on our lifestyle membership scheme on 01458 444915. Quoting GlastonburyRadio.net. That's 01458 444915.
In 1971, US President Nixon declared a war on cancer. 30 plus years later, it continues, taking the lives of loved ones and consuming billions in currency all over the world. Why is that, one must ask? A prudent question, as 15 plus cultures around the planet remain free of this and other diseases that are rife in the modern world. What are the factors in their lives that enable this to be? Well, actually, the answers have been known for a very, very long time. For further information, visit apricotshop.co.uk, whose mission is researching, providing information and supplying carefully selected products that potentially provide protection for people's health, along with reducing the risk of contracting lifestyle-related diseases. Put you and your family's well-being first. Prevention is undoubtedly the key to a vibrant existence.
Email the show, Ross, at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Hi, this is your own pal, Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They've made me feel f***ing normal.
Yes, welcome back to the show. You're in hour three of Now That's Weird. My guest is Drew Strom, and we're talking about the Philadelphia Experiment. Now, the website you can go to find out more is thephiladelphiaexperiment.com. That's thephiladelphiaexperiment.com. And we're going to be talking more in just a moment about the second report, which is called Ghost Ship in Distress. But, Drew, let me first ask you, what was it that propelled you down this particular path of research, and how did you actually get interested in this field?
That was a loaded question, but I think it's probably necessary for individuals to understand why I got involved in it. Everything goes back to the period of time when I was still part of the Marine Corps. I had retired from the Marine Corps in 1993. And one day that comes to mind was during our lunch hour. I decided I would go down to the ocean and kind of get away from the buzz as far as all the work and everybody that surrounded me, and just to try to get quiet the mind. And while I was down at the ocean, which was only a few miles away from where I worked, I had noticed this ship that was out not far off the coast. It was a Navy ship, of course. And I knew it was one of those ships that I was involved with when I was stationed overseas in Japan. So as time went by and just kind of watching the ship sit off the coast there, I had all of a sudden this strange but very urgent need to get down to San Diego and watch this ship come into port. Now, I had no idea why I had this gut feeling, but anyway, I excused myself and I headed down to the San Diego port, and which is about 75 miles, and it was all interstate all the way. So I got there in a relatively short period of time. I set myself, I parked off where the inlet was at,
and I just waited. The inlet was basically pretty quiet. There was no ships coming and going, which I thought was kind of odd. But anyway, I decided I would go ahead and get myself a cup of coffee. So I went back into my van, picked up my thermos, and poured myself a coffee, and came back to sit back behind the wheel. And all of a sudden, here's this ship materializing right in front of me. And, you know, it took every logical aspect of me to kind of figure this one out. It went against my grain. None of it made any sense. And that was probably the major thing that thrusted me into this. But then shortly afterwards, I was abducted. And I got abducted by, not ET, but military intelligence. They basically, had me gassed, and as soon as I was rendered unconscious, basically in a docile state, they pushed me into the back seat of a sedan. Somebody got behind my wheel of my van, and we went off into a very high, secure area. And basically, it came down to a debriefing. I became very conscious after we got into the secured area, and this really, really upset me. I had no idea what I was getting involved in. And then later on, this particular incident actually triggered another incident while I was over in Japan, where I was actually picked up by a military officer who was operating, believe it or not, one of these orange glowing orbs. I was in an area where there was no traffic or whatever, and all of a sudden this orb was glowing, and it was about the size, from what I can remember, about the size of a helicopter. And this guy just came walking out of that energy that surrounded that particular vehicle, of which at that time he also took me to another high security area for another debriefing. So there were a number of different unusual things, Ross, that set me off onto this path.
Interesting story, especially with regards to the orb as well, because we've heard similar things from Mike Oram about some of his experiences when he was allegedly abducted outside Area 51 in Nevada. But that's a discussion for another program. Let's just move on. Now, before we go into Ghost Ship in Distress, I just want to ask you about the Nevada sightings of the USS Eldridge at Lake Mead, because I know you went out there with a couple of people from the Probe Conference after last year's UFO Congress, and there was a singed wall. Now, we talked about this on the last program, but for new listeners, just tell us what happened at Lake Mead.
Well, the experiment actually took place back in 1943, and one of the things that happened when the ship disappeared is they didn't know what happened with it. It just disappeared, and they had, in fact, all the hunter-killer groups that were involved in hunting down German submarines back during the Second War were on the watch for this particular ship. And this particular ship was actually teleported through time. And eventually, in my opinion, they had figured out what to do to bring it under control, because it was out of control. And it was in 1983 out at Lake Mead that they had conducted experimentation to pull that ship in, which they did. And this was a period of time when the lake itself was at its highest point ever. And so when they pulled the ship in, the ground, the area around where it actually came in was all crystallized because of the enormous electrical activity that was involved with the ship. They moved it over into another area, which is this area in Lake Mead was called Battleship Rock. And the reason why they called it Battleship Rock is because from a distance it looks like a battleship. So I believe that they took the ship to keep it out of sight from individuals coming and going. And then they took it back to 1943. And basically, the individuals that got on board were what I call the cleanup crew. And it involved politicians from the Reagan era, involved in intelligence, scientists, to get this ship back to 1943.
It's quite an amazing story, because I know Gene from Probe actually managed to get a little piece of that crystal from the rock at Lake Mead and bring it back to England with her. I'm not sure if she's had that analysed yet, but I know she was completely made up with the whole experience there. It was something very, very strange. Now, let's go into the whole new document, because since you came on the show last time, you've done section two of the report, which is now ready for download, called Ghost Ship in Distress. Now, tell us a little bit about this and its major theme and purpose.
Well, let me just step back for a moment, and for those individuals who may have had the opportunity to download our first report, and for those that have not, you know, it's still being offered for free, so download it if you wish. In the last part of that particular first report, we took you through what we consider a thought experiment. And what we wanted you to do is to change your perception from looking back in time to change your observation to looking down on events. And basically, looking down on events will actually give you detailed information that has never, ever been discovered until we, in fact, we're bringing it out in our second report. But the bottom line is that the major purpose of the second report is to now analyze, examine the two photographs that we presented in the first report. And we've got the two photographs in our second report, and we actually, we've got three sets of these two photographs at different stages for the different pieces of evidence and information we are trying to get across. This may be sometimes too detailed for some, but if you take a look at the photographs, which you will be able to blow up with when you get the second report, you'll be able to actually see the activities on board. And the first thing that we found that really took us by surprise a number of years ago was that we noticed the signal flags that were hoisted on the main mast of the ship. And it just blew our minds. We couldn't believe it. The commanding officer of the USS Eldridge was actually communicating with the pilots of the airplanes that were flying over taking the photographs. And the first flag that we interpreted it. Now, you got to understand that signal flags and their meanings during the Second War were all classified, and they're still classified to this day. So the first flag that we interpreted based upon our research is I am on fire and carrying hazardous cargo. Keep clear. The second flag down below the first one says you are running into danger. And the third flag right below the second flag says stop your intentions and watch for my signals. The fourth flag, which is hoisted by itself, is telling the pilot, I wish to communicate with you. Now, when you take a look at the meanings, all of the English language vocabulary flows perfectly with what the situation is, that the activities that are going on board, that are happening on board, I should say, of the ship, if when you get into the activities. It's absolutely amazing that for over 50 years, Ross, these photographs have been used over and over and over again, and not one expert, to include the Navy, had never brought out this particular incident that we had discovered that happened on the 12th of September, 1943, which is pretty close to the same time period that Carlos Miguel Allende, the only witness who has come forward who's alleged witnessing this ship disappear, is right around the same time.
It's strange stuff indeed, and certainly with the flags, it makes you wonder why they missed that, with so those photographs being available to people for so long. How do you think that was missed in the original research?
Well, I have my thoughts on that, and one of them is basically it never dawned anybody to look at these photographs in detail. I mean, it's beyond my comprehension. But I will, you know, I'm not trying to criticize or be hypercritical of anybody here, because it took me a number of years before I figured that's what I was going to do. So this was, but it had some major movement in our research as far as coming up with an incident that was never, ever identified previously. What's also interesting is that once we, in our report, we've got 9 pages of an appendix that discusses not only the history, but how to read signal flags, hoists, how to interpret them, how they were actually used in, you know, Navy protocol. We go through all that. Now, that's pretty detailed, maybe too technical for some, and you don't really have to get into it, but it's there for those who want to verify our information. We did an awful lot of work in this particular area. What was interesting is that, you know, interpreting naval signal flags is one thing. It's another now when you try to examine the activities on board the ship, and that was our next task after we had come across the actual signal flags that told us that they had a fire on board. And the bottom line is our task was there truly a fire on board?
Okay, well, let me stop you there because we want to go into the fire after the break. But okay. Just before the break, I've got a couple of emails I want to go to, if I may. Sure. First one comes in from a listener called Shamrock. It says, hi, Penny and Ross. Just wanted to know what Drew thinks about Al Bielek's claims. And great show, by the way.
Great question, and thank you for your kind words. Boy, that kind of puts me in a position of that I have felt all along. I know Al Bielek personally myself. He has in fact come to my home. We sat down on a number of occasions, either here or where he was ever, you know, lecturing. And this goes back into the mid-90s. I believe Al. I believe his story. Now, Al's got himself in a predicament, and I don't really wish to comment on that, but because Al's quite capable himself of defending himself or verifying his, you know, his actual involvement. So, but I do believe Al, yes.
Okay, thanks for that. Another quick one that we'll do just before we go into the break. Can you just give us the website address again of where we can download the document?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, that's from Sally, who's listening in London tonight.
Yeah, you can go to www.thephiladelphiaexperiment.com.
Fantastic. That's www.thephiladelphiaexperiment.com. We're going to be back with Drew in just a moment. We're going to be talking about the fire on board and what proof there was that there was a fire on the decks right after this.
Email the show, Ross, at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Festival Times, the UK's number one free music paper. To find out where we're giving away our paper this summer, or keep up to date on band interviews and festival reviews, check out festivaltimes.co.uk for promotions and advertising, or to buy shares in the FT for only £1. Then call the team on 0203 2875 123. Festival Times, the new music paper for new music fans.
The Glastonbury Goddess Conference is celebrating its 14th year from the 29th of July to the 2nd of August, with fringe events from the 26th of July. This year we're celebrating the Sunfire Goddess Atlantis. Wonderful women, men and children from all over the world come to participate to honour grandly the Sunfire Goddess. Ritual dance, songs, workshops, pampering day spa, just to name a few events. Have you ever wanted to do a firewalk? Well, now's your chance. See Starhawk, Anik Radiantheart, Judy Phoenix, Caroline Hillier, Nigel Shaw, many more talented people to entertain you. For bookings and day tickets and information, contact www.goddessconference.com.
this month, Luxuriate Bath & Body will be celebrating their first birthday. Call in to number 20 The Gauntlet Glastonbury to buy something to pamper yourself or a loved one. You even get 10% off if you mention Glastonbury Radio. If you can't visit, call us on 01458 833 016 or shop online at luxuriate.co.uk. Want to talk direct to potential customers? Then think digital, think video, think local, think In Your Face Media. In Your Face is a brand new media proposition targeted at affluent Bristol areas. We're currently installing digital wireless posters in wine bars, gyms and cafes, as well as doctors and dentist surgeries. And while they're waiting, they could be reading or watching your advertising messages. The technology is blindingly clever. The screens are operated wirelessly via the internet, so we can program the dynamic content that will appear on every individual screen. Slots start from as little as 2 pence. For more details, call us on 0117 942 0670 or visit our website at inyourfacemedia.co.uk. What are you doing on Saturday, 4th of July 2009, between 12 p.m. and 5 p.m? Why not come to the Gauntlet Day celebrations to commemorate the second birthday of the Gauntlet Shopping Thoroughfare? A double winning spectacular, which recreated a secret medieval passageway leading to the heart of the town. The Gauntlet invites you to join in with our festivities and help support Glastonbury Radio's chosen charity, the Make-A-Wish Foundation. There'll be a radio roadshow, celebrity acts on stage, various events including a quiz challenge featuring the 3Gs and the Moaning Old Gits. So whether you want live music from a star performer or would like to enter the stocks, the choice is yours. Fun for the whole family, free of charge on Gauntlet Day, the Gauntlet Shopping Thoroughfare in the heart of Glastonbury. Visiting Glastonbury and looking for somewhere nice to stay close to the town centre? Then have a listen to what some of our previous guests have said about Barham's B&B. A hidden treasure, real luxury and excellent accommodation. Looked after so well in a really nice friendly atmosphere. Another 2 days at the best ever B&B. A friendly welcome, lovely rooms and a tasty breakfast awaits you at Barham's B&B. Check out our website at barhamsbnb.co.uk and for booking inquiries, simply email gene.hbarham@yahoo.co.uk or call us on 01458 837 875. Rates from just £35 a night. Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
Yes, also you'll find the website's been updated with my appearances for this year. As you know, I've cut down a little bit on my workload this year, so I've only taken a few conferences on, but I'm going to be at Weirdo 9, yeah, that's the one, in Warminster, and that's next month, and then I'm taking a break through September, and then it gets a bit busy then, in October, 2 weekends on the trot. The first weekend I'm at the Probe International Conference, speaking there on the 3rd and 4th of October, and the following weekend I'm at the Cornwall UFO Conference on the Saturday, which is taking place in Truro, I believe, at Truro College, and that's the week after. But you can find all the dates if you look at C. Ross Live on the website from the Navibar at nowthatsweird.co.uk. You can find out where I'm going to be, and come along and see us. Now, that alien picture that I keep talking about from Rendlesham, or interdimensional entity as I prefer to call it, at Rendlesham. I don't publish it on site because of fear of copyright theft. A lot of you have been writing in saying, where can we see that? I don't publish it, and it's not for any sort of financial gain, but I do show it at conferences. So make sure you book yourself onto one of the conferences that I'm going to appear at, and you might just get to see it, because I do put that in my presentation. Now, my guest in Hour 3 tonight is Drew Strom. We're talking about the Philadelphia experiment, and let me come back to this fire on deck, Drew, if I might. What type of evidence did you discover that proved beyond fact that there was a fire on board the USS Eldridge which resulted in the numerous casualties?
Well, we have 4 pieces of evidence, one of which is the signal flake that is distinctly saying to the world, when the photograph was taken, I am on fire and carrying hazardous cargo. Keep clear. What we did was we tasked ourselves to determine, well, is this a hoax, or is there any truth or validity to having a fire on board the ship? That took us into having to get back into, I was in the Marine Corps for, you know, I've got 30 years in the Marine Corps, and the Marine Corps is part of the Navy Department. So even though I have 30 years, I had to study Navy protocol, Navy regulations. And we looked at the activity on board the ship. We blew it up poster size on our computer. We got it blown up. We looked at every inch of this ship. Now, one of the things that we found, which it took a while for us to do, was that there was actually smoke coming out of the escape hatch on the aft end of the ship. That was our first indication. Prior to that, you know, we were kind of scratching our heads saying, well, you know, there's something wrong here. I mean, everything looks pretty normal. But as we started getting into Navy protocol and regulations and we started to compare that to the photograph, all of a sudden it starts to come together. Now, with the smoke was difficult to detect. We pointed out where it's at. You got to have both photographs, and you got to look at that area that we're pointing to very closely. But there is smoke coming out of the escape hatch. Why was the smoke so difficult to determine was because the ship was actually underway, and the currents that were generated by the ship's movement, it was actually dispersing the smoke before, you know. Typically, if a ship is on fire, the ship would be dead, stopped in the water, would not be undergoing operations as it, you know, moving forward. The other thing was that we had noticed that they did have a damage control team staged on the fantail. Now, when we get into World War II damage control protocol, a DE, much like a destroyer, would have three different damage control teams. One would be for the forward end, one would be for the midships, and the other would be for the aft end. We're looking at these photographs and we're saying, well, if there was truly a fire, then how come... We asked ourselves, where's all the men? We can only account for about 23% of the men, or about 50 out of the 220 men that were on board. And if they were truly under damage control operations, everybody would be at their general quarters, because general quarters was typically sounded. And what we're noticing is that all the guns, except for one gun mount, were covered up with protective tarps, and there were no men staged on this. Yet, we see a damage control team on the aft end. We believe that whatever happened, whatever caused this fire, was something that overtook the crew. And it's possible that the crew were down in their berthing areas at the time this fire got started. We do not know what started it. However, when we start taking a look at the rumors and allegations that have been floating around here for over 50 years, it kind of leads you to believe that there may be some truth to these allegations. The third most important thing just really kind of was like a brick hitting us in the face. The damage control team that's on the aft end of the ship are all dressed out in aluminized asbestos suits. Now, through our research, we know that a DE would have aluminized asbestos suits, but their allowance was only two per damage control team. Thus, the USS Eldridge would have only had a quantity of six suits on board. The entire damage control team was, in fact, outfitted in these suits. Now, these suits are important to us only because the Navy's usage of these suits was for one purpose, and that purpose was when there was an intense fire that they used them for rescue operations. So this tells me that they were actually conducting rescue operations of those crew members that were down below deck. I believe they were taken by surprise. Whatever caused this fire was intense, because they were all wearing asbestos suits. So this is a very, very telling story as far as what's going on board this ship. The other thing is when you look to the group of the damage control team that staged on the fantail. To the right of them, you'll see a couple of barrels that are full of asbestos suits. So they were ready for something.
Mm.
This is out of order. There should be no reason for the damage control team to be all dressed out or donned in these asbestos suits. And the only reason they would be was that it was an intense fire and that they were conducting rescue fire operations. We believe that because we cannot see all the men at their general quarters, we believe that they were below deck whatever time, whatever caused this fire. And it may very well have been in an experiment in invisibility and teleportation. That's what it's leading us to.
Joe, why do you think that all the experts that have looked at this over the years have missed this vital evidence?
Because they're not military experts. You know, even when we sat down to write this report, we understand that the average individual who will read them will not have any naval background, any military background. A military institution is its own world. You had to have been in there like I have to really understand it. And you really can't hold it to these individuals that have, you know, have pioneered the path as far as keeping this experiment known throughout all these decades. Berlitz and Moore, they were not experts, even though, from what I understand, Berlitz had Army military intelligence background. He wasn't Navy, you see. So we believe that the experts who have written on this particular subject matter were not military experts and did not have the ability to interpret the activities on board the ship like we were.
Okay, just remind people where they can download these reports on your website.
Well, once again, it's www.thephiladelphiaexperiment.com. Now, one thing that you could do is just type in phase transition dot 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 the Philadelphia experiment, and that should bring up the website. There's an awful lot of websites out there that have Philadelphia experiment in it, and you're going to get them all.
Phase transition and the Philadelphia experiment on a Google search, or you can just go to thephiladelphiaexperiment.com, but make sure you put the in there. Now, what's in store next for your readers, Drew, on this plan, and when do you plan to release the next report, which is called Eyes in the Sky?
Well, we plan on Eyes in the Sky. We anticipate releasing it on right about the 15th of August. We're still working on it, and we're close, and we should be able to meet that release date. What we're going to do with Eyes in the Sky is we're going to take you back to these photographs, and we're going to show you some additional discrepancies. There's much, much more to these photographs than what meets the eye. We don't want to overwhelm you. We've given you enough information to chew on in the second report. The third report, we're going to do basically the same thing, but we're going to take you to Bermuda, and we're going to take you beyond Bermuda, and we're going to show you some things that just will absolutely amaze you on how even the government's documents, the classified documents, how they all come into play along with the ship's deck log. Now, one thing I forgot to mention, Ross, these photographs were taken on the 12th of September, supposedly in the Long Island Sound. One of the things that we had to do was try to determine what happened. The only place that we could have determined the actual incident itself that we're seeing in these photographs was to go to the Eldridge's deck logs. So we pulled out the deck logs, and lo and behold, we found nothing.
Mm.
So there is a definite beginning here of a cover-up.
Oh, without a doubt. Mm.
So we've got a number of pieces of evidence here that your listeners and our readers really need to comprehend. We do not and will not rehash old business. That story has been told over and over and over again. What you're going to get with us is all brand new information.
That's
fantastic.
Right.
Now, that address again is thephiladelphiaexperiment.com. Time has beaten us, Drew, but I would recommend that all of my listeners go there and download this and read it, because it's astounding information. I've actually seen the picture of the ship and the flags which Drew showed me out at Congress this year, and it is it's amazing stuff. It really is. Drew, I hope you'll come back and join us in August when the next edition comes out.
I would love it very much. Thank you for the offer.
No problem at all. Give my regards to Deborah, who I know has not been feeling so well and couldn't be with you this evening, so do pass on my regards and have a great weekend.
And you too, Rob. Thank you so much.
Cheers now. Bye-bye. There you go, Drew Strom, and Drew will be back with us in August for part three of this. The interesting thing for me is, having studied the Philadelphia Experiment, having read the book, having gone through the evidence that Al Bielek and others have put forward, there seems without a doubt to be a cover-up. There seems to be without a doubt an experiment that took place in invisibility, but there seems to be so much more yet to be discovered. If you've watched the film The Philadelphia Experiment, albeit that it's been glossed over in typical Hollywood style and a few extras added in for good keeping, the base story always seems to be the same, that something went drastically wrong, a fire started on board, people were melted into the metalwork on the boat. But these people, they weren't just burnt or melted in through the fire, something else happened, and it remains a mystery at the moment. And I think if anyone's going to be able to bring the whole story out, it's going to be Drew Strom. It's been good to be back with you tonight. Another 3 hours and Now That's Weird. Hope you've enjoyed it. Thanks to all the new listeners as well tuning in tonight. Hope you've enjoyed it too. Shamrock says, you've got a new fan. Thank you, Shamrock. Appreciated. We like to do this every Friday night. We try to bring you as much as we can from all areas of the paranormal, UFOs, crop circles, mysteries, conspiracy theories, and we'll keep on doing it till they stop us. You take care. Have a wonderful weekend wherever you are. Thanks to Penny, to Kenton, and to Johnny P, my team on Now That's Weird, and to Lulu the Cat for behaving herself this evening. See you next Friday.